So, any of you guys seen Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
I have not.
I saw it this week. Yeah, I saw it Saturday.
I saw it Saturday as well.
I'll come back in 10 minutes.
after you binge watch Star Wars
in 10 minutes. It's like 10 times speed.
Just Neo it up, you know, like, whoa, I've seen Star Wars.
I know Star Wars.
I got to tell you, I think it's fun, but I got some big problems with that movie. I mean, now it's not the time, but I think it's okay. I think it's an okay movie. It's way better than the prequels.
Yep. This is the exact same review I've heard from everybody else so far.
Yeah. Did you fall in love with it, Justin?
I wouldn't say I fell in love with it. I think it's just like you said, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of exactly what I expected.
Yeah. I would agree with that. There are things I want to say about it, but I can't. At risk of ruining the experience for someone. But, like, everyone told me, like, well, you definitely want to see it as soon as you can because, you know, there are spoilers. And then I watched the movie, and I was like, there's really not that much. I mean, there's, like, two things in the movie that I wouldn't tell someone. But it's sort of like, well, I also wouldn't tell them Rosebud was the sled, you know? Yeah. You don't want to ruin the end of a thing. But, Yeah, I'm gonna, all right. But I just wanted to get that out of the way, because this is the Shotcast, and we don't want to just, you know, willy-nilly go off on tangents. That's not how we do things here. We run a tight ship.
Oh. I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, well, I've been meaning to have a talk with you about that, but...
This is awkward.
All right, well, it's... Now you know. Now you know. The important thing is you're on board now.
All right.
But this is episode 187. That's right. Murder, Death, Kill. As Demolition Man has often told us. Now, Demolition Man, now there's a good movie.
Murder, Death, Kill, there's a good video game.
Actually it is. That is a really good video game. Something about a dog with four arms that's got an Uzi in each hand is appealing to me.
Yeah. There's no question that well-armed canines, honestly, kind of terrifying.
Ooh.
You know, because the second you accidentally step on their tail, guns blazing, gentlemen.
Well, then, Bo, if you're a fan of armed dogs, I've got a game for you.
Go on.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah,
do you play as the dog?
The dog carries a knife.
I heard about this. That's ridiculous. Okay. So, episode 187, our first end of year podcast.
Hmm.
And I'm going to be trying desperately to get this out prior to Christmas or right around Christmas Day so that, you know, you can avoid your family a little bit longer. That's really what the holidays are about. Being thrust, you know, into a situation with people that you grew up with, and you know, you get to revisit old grudges and all the things that they've done to wrong you. I mean, is that your holiday experience, John Dolan?
Pretty much, yeah. It's all about what I am and am not allowed to say to my in-laws.
How so?
I mean, your typical taboo topics are off the table entirely. So it's just one of those things.
Politics and religion, that kind of situation.
So, pretty much, yeah. I mean, it doesn't stop me, but.
So you won't be talking about Donald Trump at dinner?
Yeah.
Or he won't be the one to bring up Donald Trump, but
no, it's one of those two things.
Honestly, every time I see Donald Trump say something ridiculous, like, you know, not to get too political about this, but, you know, he had that big tirade where was it in Iowa or something where he just kind of went bananas for an hour and a half and, you know, danced around and was talking about belt buckles and all that. And, you know, and I kind of called it. It was sort of the called shot, the Babe Ruth style. Was it Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig? I don't know.
It was Babe Ruth.
Yeah, you know, pointing to the end zone. Is that what they have in baseball? And saying, this is where...
To the net. He's pointing to the net.
Yeah. Pointing to the net. He said, this is where my puck is going to go, people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And,
yep, I'm going to free throw this puck.
And sure enough.
Right up into the basket.
That is exactly what happened. And much like Babe Ruth, which I think he was playing in the last quarter, too, which made it more impressive. But
it's only 90 minutes. And there's a halftime.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah. I for a long time I thought there was a shuttlecock, and then I realized it was a puck. But after Donald Trump's, you know, somewhat famous 90-minute like free-form experimental theater, I was like, you know what? His poll numbers are going to go up after this, and I'll be damned if they didn't. It's pretty great. I love living in a country where the election season just has gone from being, you know, like dry political discussion to the actual witnessing of a breakdown.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I forget who's the quote is attributed to, but it's I'm going to totally balk now. I can't even remember the quote. God damn it.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Yes. It's like that guy said that one time. I forget.
Yeah. I think we all feel the same. You got any big holiday
plans? Took too many shots to the head playing gymnastics.
Yeah. I never played that. I never had the build for it. I was always too small.
It was all the equipment. You know, you had to get a glove and, you know, like a special helmet.
The skates.
Shin guards. Yeah.
That's what threw me. It was like, oh, I got no balance for that. Also, they look dangerous.
Yeah.
But you got big Christmas plans as people listen to this. Are you going to be around the Yule log?
Not that I have a log. I mean, you said log.
Okay. I
so what I want to do? This is what I want to do on Christmas. I saw that somewhere on YouTube is a looping video of Darth Vader on his funeral pyre burning. You can play that on your TV instead of the Yule log video.
I really like the one of Nick Offerman just sitting in front of a fire drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
And that looks
so, the beauty of it is I have a fireplace and my TV is right above the fireplace. So I'm going to have the fire. And then on top of my fire, I'm going to have Darth Vader on the fire.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'm on board now. At first I was like, yeah, maybe not. And then, yeah, geography makes a difference there.
So the quote is, and I still don't know who to attribute it to. Think of a person of average intelligence. Half of the people you meet are dumber than that.
That is George Carlin, as a matter of fact.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel about politics.
All right. All right. Justin McFerrin.
Not going to do too much. Just hang with the family. Probably get some video gaming in. My life's pretty slowed down these days.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the video gaming myself.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to bed, and then it's, you know, it's John time.
Yeah, well, you got the new job recently. You recently returned from Houston, Texas.
From Houston, yep.
How was that?
That was pretty good. We had a lot of good food.
Tex-Mex?
A bunch of the developers are from like southern China. So the first day they took us to this crazy authentic Chinese restaurant that was probably the best Chinese food I've ever had. Like at no point did I order anything. Like the lead developer just ordered everything in Chinese and I had no idea what was coming out. So it was a really interesting experience.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, treated you right, like a lady.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's crazy, crazy lobster dish, but really just ate a lot of good food. Working there is pretty laid back, so it wasn't, it was a pretty awesome trip.
Yes. Excellent. Glad to have you back, though.
Of course.
Planet Houston.
Yeah, from Tejas.
I wish I had some more time there, because I kept looking up the Johnson Space Center and wanted to go over there, but it just... They close every day by the time I get off work.
I had one of those t-shirts, the Big Johnson Space Center.
Yeah.
The Big J.
Yeah. I'm sure that was a thing, right? That had to have existed.
If it didn't, we should make it.
All right.
It should exist now.
Check the giant the Etsy page for the Shodcast.
It's more of like a Spencer's gift.
You think we're going to get that kind of marketing?
Yeah,
we're going to get into Spencer's and maybe a Hot Topic or two?
In a Hot Topic.
That's what I was going to say. It'll be so mainstream that they'll put it in a Hot Topic and sell it to people who think that they're not being mainstream by shopping at Hot Topic.
Yeah, that always kind of cracked me up that it's like, I'm going to buy my alternative wear at a chain store.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, you know, I don't think you've scratched the surface on your... your efforts, really, but go ahead. I'm not here to judge. So what's been, aside from your upcoming plans? Oh, I got to tell you, on my front, I haven't been doing too much, just, doing a little bit of, rearranging around the house. This weekend planned to get a lot of stuff done and got sidelined by a bit of a bug. Had some plans and, those fell through pretty much after Star Wars on Saturday. I was in one degree of misery or another.
Yeah, so I've had strep for the last 10 days.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, this so isn't a contest. Pain,
I just finished a course of antibiotics, and today's the first day in a week and a half that I haven't coughed every 30 seconds. So.
Oh, good.
It's great.
Yeah. Strep is no fun. I haven't had strep in years, but I remember.
So I didn't get a whole lot of gaming in or anything. It was just like, I had the same thing. It was just like, let me just get through this work week so I can get to the, so today was my last day at work before the holiday break. So
yeah,
I've got 12 days off in a row. That's what I'm working on right
now.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
How drunk are you?
not enough yet.
All right. Hey, let me give you a quick recommendation and then I'll get back to my story of refurnishing. On Netflix, there is a new documentary series called Making a Murderer, that I have been just obsessed with while I was, a bit under the weather. I was kind of couching it and that was my company. And, short version of this documentary is it's about a dude, who's kind of white trashy, from Wisconsin, gets accused of rape and sentenced. The charge, and it turns out he's innocent. You know, like he gets sentenced at a time when DNA evidence is not technologically a thing, and he is freed after 18 years in prison, and then within 18 months is charged with murder.
Fantastic.
And it raises a lot of questions of, did he do it? Is maybe the police department that is on the hook for a lot of money for this guy's investigation maybe partially responsible? It's really fascinating. I've got two or three more episodes left to go.
How long is the series?
12 episodes. 12 episodes, about an hour a piece. And it holds up. Like, it doesn't feel padded or anything. It's interesting enough to carry... throughout the episodes I've seen, because there's enough sort of twists and turns that you're like, oh, you know, this guy's totally being set up. Oh shit, he totally did it. Oh wait, he's probably being set up. You know, kind of has a bit of DNA from something like The Jinx, the HBO series, which I thought was quite good. And
did you listen to the podcast on NPR called Serial?
Yeah, that's the other example I was going to get. There's a real Serial vibe to it as well.
They just started a new season of Serial that's fascinating as well. It's about Bo Bergdahl, the U.S. soldier in Iraq that just like walked off his post and got captured by the Taliban, I think.
They're
following his whole case on the next season of Serial, and they're two episodes in, and so far it's been awesome. So
it really has. I've been listening to that as well. I was a big fan of the first season, and it is really interesting. It certainly gave me a different perspective on that case, because I just knew what you'd seen in the news, which was he abandoned his post, got captured, and blah blah blah. So you know, and
it's got that. I mean, something about the way they do that show is just great. It's got that all the way through it. Every episode, you know, one episode may make you lean one way, like, oh, totally, this guy. Like in the first season of Serial, it was like, yeah, this guy's guilty as fuck. And then next episode, you're like, well, that's just so vague and sketchy. And how could you convict someone with that evidence? And then the next one, they get you to go the other way, and it's got a nice back and forth to it. But my favorite thing about the first season of Serial was so the guy was accused of murdering this young woman who he dated in high school, and her body was discovered in a park in Baltimore that I'd drive through on my way home from work every day. And so in the story, they're talking about this park, and it's called Lincoln Park. And people in Baltimore pronounce it Lincoln Park, but it's Lincoln, as in my faucet is Lincoln. But they're talking about how they're interviewing people, and people are like saying, yeah, oh yeah, if you want to get rid of a body, you take it to Lincoln Park. And they're like, yeah, so if you look at a map of Lincoln Park, of where all the bodies have been discovered, it's kind of creepy because there's been a lot of bodies discovered there since like the mid-50s. But how evenly spaced they all are from each other is what's weird about it, because it's almost like people look at the map of where all the previous bodies have been buried, and they're like, oh, well, there's a hole in between these three. I'll just go bury my body there to, you know, keep it away from the other places where they discovered bodies.
Right, right. You don't want to double up.
You want to like jam it up like graves right now. I mean, come on. You don't want to on top of each other. Spread them out a little bit.
But yeah, so as I was, you know, kind of recuperating and feeling generally terrible, I was watching that Mayhem Murderer series and
that sounds cool.
Enjoying that. But the big news of late is I finally got my office all together, which is where, like, this is the first time I'm recording from my office in its semi-final form.
Nice.
And, oh, man. Oh, I love it. I got a nice big new desk. Where I can keep everything like within hand's reach, and the office is where most of the gaming consoles are, with a nice, nice comfy futon down here in case I get too drunk to make it up the stairs.
Or you want to lay down and play a game
or whatever,
that happens
either or. And, yeah. So I'm very excited to be recording from the new space, and I like it a lot. Nice. It was a fair amount of effort to get to, but I dig it. So yeah, you know, we're on the technical side of things for our listeners. We've been working hard to make this a better show to listen to, and I think every episode's going to get a little bit better on the technical side until it plateaus, and then we just stop worrying about it. So, but
this is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
It's close. It's about as good as it's going to get. We'll see.
Yep.
You know, we'll see how
not yet. I'm saying when we get to the plateau, we'll announce that. And then we'll say,
there's nothing at the top, but a bucket and a mop.
This is the point where if this isn't good enough, we should part ways, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's always on the table anyway.
Yeah.
You know, this is just a barely contained powder keg of rage. So this time out, because it is the end of the year podcast, we are going to be discussing our top 10 games. We got a couple of other discussion categories that we may parse out a game to walk away with a certain title. We have talked best music, best story, The Shoddy, which is the game that was most deserving of Schadenfreude, and the Ballsy. And I need you to kind of describe to me, because I was never clear if that was a positive or negative thing.
Yeah.
Because depending on who you're with, that can either be loving or it can be, you know, the Halo crouch.
Yeah, I wasn't going for teabagging with it. So let me hold on. I just closed my fucking email. God damn it. I had the explanation in the email. I'll just read that again. And it was
I read that as well. I don't think it's going to help as much as you think it does, but go ahead.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's reading versus having it read to you.
Okay, that's always better for me.
And we should explain the Shoddy is the game that we most experienced our love of the Schadenfreude whilst playing.
Yes,
I think yes. So the Bally. If I could only find it in a rather quick fashion. I wrote game I'd most like to gently lower my balls onto, like a velvet coin purse filled with gold dust.
See, there's a lot of positivity around that description, but it also culminates in your sack being on top of something.
Yeah.
So what you need to understand from that sentence is that in any situation where you're lowering your balls onto something in a gentle manner, if I'm trying to say that, there's an amount of trust and caution.
Okay. Okay.
So it's almost like, what game provides me a comfortable enough space in which I would like to rest my balls on it?
All right.
As if it were a velvet coin purse filled with gold dust.
Almost a partner, a willing partner that is not...
Like, this is my not necessarily my warm and fuzzy game, but this is like my go-to, yeah, We're gonna put the sack on this game for a while.
Yeah, we're gonna kick back and do this, and neither person is gonna judge. The game's not gonna judge you. You're not gonna judge the game. You're just gonna
and it could be like a guilty pleasure, you know?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah. So, that's how I'm reading that description.
Okay, being the inventor of the Bally, I'm glad to have had this discussion. So that's coming up on the show. We'll again, try to figure out what the hell John's talking about. Before we get into that, though.
Good luck.
Wow, getting up on it. I like it. So, for the ladies. He's ginger, ladies. You've got that to look forward to.
Uh-huh.
Freckly, pale, ginger bastard.
Did I mention it's a red velvet coin purse?
I assumed as much.
Wow.
Okay. The gold dust, of course, being sperm. Justin McFerrin.
DNA.
In addition to your travels into the country of Texas, what have you been playing in the meantime?
I played a whole mess load of some Rainbow Six Siege this past week, couple weeks.
Yeah, is that holding up? Does it bear multiple plays?
I think so. I like to play solos a lot of fun. You know, if you just want to play something for 10 or 15 minutes, the Terrorist Hunt's a lot of fun. I don't know, it's a pretty fun game. It certainly is kind of like a one-trick pony, but I think, like, the way they've built it, matches go, you know, they sway either way, and it's very chaotic that it's not really the same experience every time. So,
are you playing that with mouse and keyboard?
Yes.
Okay, because I booted that up and tried playing it with controller and bounced off of it real hard. And
yeah,
I think that's why.
Yeah, the leaning mechanic is pretty heavily.
Yeah.
In there, so you kind of have to play with mouse and keyboard for sure.
I was mostly disappointed. So I still think that Rainbow Six Vegas and the cover system that it had, where you hold down the left trigger and you take cover and then you pop out with the thumbstick and then shoot with your right trigger. I love that cover system in games, and I wish more games would use that, where you're first person and then when you cling to a surface, it goes third person. And I didn't like it how they did it in Metal Gear, where you kind of walk up to it and then he goes into cover.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that sticky cover.
Yeah.
I like just a fucking button or, you know, a trigger that puts me in cover. And I was kind of bummed that Siege didn't have that mechanic in it, because I really, really like that.
Other than that, I picked up Gods Are Watching Us today. I've been playing the crap out of that for about the past couple hours. It's a lot of fun.
And that's the one where you're part of a hostage scenario or something at the beginning.
It's several different kind of, it's a linear story where you get in these kind of situations, but yeah, one of the things is you're in a hostage situation and it's sort of a point and click adventure, but there's also a level where they kind of throw resources at you too, where you get like stranded on this planet and you have to keep everyone alive while you're trying to fix this radio to get off the planet. It's always like some situations where you have to manage several different systems at once, which is kind of fun. Played a little bit of Squad because they just went live on Steam.
Yeah, yeah, been selling pretty well, is my understanding.
Yeah, it's very popular. It's selling, like one of the top three sellers, top two sellers.
Yeah, selling like hotcakes. Really good. I mean,
oh, I could go for some hotcakes. Sorry, what?
As in, it's a it's a fun game. I think if anybody's on the fence about it, you should definitely go ahead and pick it up because it's better than most games right now, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah,
that's in their early release category, right?
Yeah.
And
what is it, $39?
It's $39, but right now you're getting full-fledged, online game modes, and yeah, vehicles are very, very soon.
And that price is probably going up when it goes full release.
I would think so. There are several people who were kind of pissed off about it being $40. They thought that was pretty expensive for early access, but...
Then don't buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's early access, then don't buy it. I mean,
it's absolutely worth $40 already.
How do you if you stack it up against like Arma 3, how do you feel? Like, what are like any glaring differences in how they work or how they look, how they play?
Yeah, I mean, compared to Arma 3, it's a lot more arcadey, just in the fact that it's easy to just hop on a server, get in a squad, and start going, which is kind of a holdover from the way, like, Battlefield 2 worked. You know, you're just hopping on, they really emphasize squad play, so if you can only get in certain, kits if you're in a squad with X number of people, so it takes people, forcing people to work together to open up more, like, heavier weaponry and different assets, which is a lot of fun. I'd say it's similar in just the scope and the size. Like, when it's done, the combined arms aspect is going to be a lot like how Arma is.
And that actually sounds more appealing to me. And I mean, like, not that Arma 3 is intimidating, but I'm not sure what the definition of intimidating is, but I'm scared of Arma 3.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just so... It's deep enough that I just don't have that kind of time to sink into a single game because I just like playing a couple of games at a time. And that seems like the learning curve is pretty steep for that guy.
I think Squad is one of those games where it's, it's easy to jump in and start playing. Maybe you're just like a rifleman, but if you really get to the point where you have a lot of time to spend with it, I mean, you get to the point where you're a squad leader and you're actively planning out these missions with the other squads and trying to pool your resources. I think there's a lot of depth in there for the people who want to stick it out, but then also people who just want to play it for, matches like 45 minutes. You just want to hop on every once in a while. You can still get in there and actually, have a lot of fun.
And this is or is not the game where there's the mechanic of I've got to like do the bolt action and loading.
No,
out.
Okay, that's not. Okay. That. Yeah, no, that one's. That one is not doing so hot.
How so? What's the name of that one again?
Dust.
Okay. So what's going on with that?
It's just that there's one guy. He's maybe two guys at this point, so everything's going really, really slow. Whereas, like, Squad is like 50 different guys who worked on the Project Reality mod who, I mean, they're from all over. And they just, they crank stuff out. I mean, it's like their major releases are once a month, but you always see something about... We fixed this bug or that bug or, added this one little thing. So it's really, like, the pace of their development and their communication is right where you want it to be.
All right. Anything else before we ignore you for a bit?
Star Citizen. I finally got...
let's get into this. What's 2.0? Like, beta 2.0? Is it beta or alpha 2.0?
I think it's... I don't know.
Alpha.
Alpha 2.0.
I guess it's
okay.
Alpha, yeah.
So, but this was supposed to start integrating some of the components, is my understanding, and providing more of a game experience as opposed to here's some flight and here's, walking around a hangar and shit. So,
yeah.
So, what else?
So, when you boot this up, you kind of have a little panel to pick. Do you want to go down to the planet where they have, like, the shops and the bar? And that's kind of like more of a just like a town. It reminds me a lot of like a town from World of Warcraft, where you know everyone just kind of congregates there to get stuff done. Right. There's not a lot of fighting, but then you can spawn on the space station that's in orbit, and you go down to like a room that has these computer panels, and you use the panel, and it gives you a list of the ships that you own, and then you can request a ship, and then it spawns it on a landing pad outside, and you have to run out there, and you know, this is all first person, run out there, get in your ship, and then you have about, it seemed like 15 or so different locations that you can actually do like a warp kind of travel to. And the sort of only quest that's in there right now is there's all these communications arrays that pirates have been turning off, and you have to go around and you have to EVA out of your spaceship and fly inside of them and hit a button and turn them back on. So that's kind of the goal right now that you have. But there's also another station where you can pick up some more guns, and there's actually like a PvP zone, so anyone who's going to that station, you know, is going to be shooting at you, so you kind of go there to try and get these guns. But it's really a lot of fun. It's it is bringing everything together, and I think it's just gonna, it just is showing that this game's gonna be, you know, amazing when they're actually done with it.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Like the just the fact that you can, you know, spawn your ship, fly to this place, kind of hide it in a space station. Like I kept like hiding my ship on the hull of a space station, kind of like the Millennium Falcon, and then that way it's not just floating out there, so if someone else shows up, they don't just blow it away. It takes them a second to actually register or try and figure out where it's at. And there's people who, like, you'll spawn your ship and you'll get out there and someone's already in your ship just like sitting there. And just because people just hitch rides off people, which is kind of random and funny.
You can have multiple players in one ship?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that being part of it, too, now, is that if you have, you know, a multi-crew ship, you know, like, you can jump on my ship, baby.
And I think I have the Constellation that I can spawn it, and I don't own that, so I think there are some ships that they give you by default. So you can spawn that huge, the big, what is like their Millennium Falcon, that's like the 4 or 5 person ship. I think everyone gets access to that right now.
Nice.
We got to try, you know, because one of the big problems with Elite Dangerous was the difficulty in
instancing.
You're right, of just meeting up online so that we can be, you know, if not part of the same crew, at least part of the same like squadron of ships. Any indication so far if that's easy or difficult, or
I don't think there's really like an official. I think we can add each other as friends through like the.
Well, let's not take it too far.
I think we can do that through the Roberts, the website. I think they manage like your contacts in there or something. But there's a place in your sort of, you have this HoloLens type augmented reality thing where you can bring up like your journal of your missions and you can look at contacts. So I think there's a way to do it. It seems like there's only a couple servers that are actually that you log into, so maybe it's just as easy as we all get into the same server.
All right, well, we'll have to give that a test, because I'm real curious if they can get over that hurdle pretty quickly. So that we, even if there's not as much game as something like Elite Dangerous, which I think we've kind of agreed is sort of a mile wide and an inch thin as a game, if we can hook up in Star Citizen, and even if there's not as much to do, if we can do it together, that has, in my mind, a broader appeal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks pretty, too.
What's the download on that thing?
Oof. You're looking at 20 some odd gigs.
That's
TMAC in there.
Yeah. Looking about 20 gigs. If you want to download it.
And they have like a test environment, kind of like DayZ has the experimental build. So they already, it's cool because there's always something that you can be looking forward to if you're playing on the stable. Like, they've added a couple more ships in the test environment that should be on the stable one sooner than later. So it's going to be some interesting stuff coming down the pipeline for that game, I think.
All right. Yeah, I'm very. In fact, I downloaded it again and kind of had every intention to give that a whirl this weekend. And again, I wasn't, you know, vertical much of the weekend, so that just didn't happen. But I do have it downloaded. I do need to check it out. Did you try it with the Rift yet?
No. I don't remember. I know Rift support was broken for a little while, but I think you've got the Vorfex thing, so you can probably make it work no matter what.
Yeah, I can. John Dolan.
You could just bend things to your will. Yeah. I want to ask Justin, I saw that you picked up Element. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird real-time strategy game where it's kind of hard to explain. You are building these different, it's almost like tower defense, where you're building these different towers, you can spawn these little ships, and it's basically just two sides fighting over a planet. So it's all single player right now. It's in early access. It's kind of just like a quirky real-time strategy game with some resource management in it as well. That's, I mean, it's pretty cool. I got my butt kicked after like the first two levels, but then I kept reading online that apparently the difficulty just shoots through the roof once you hit the third one. I don't know. I would keep my eyes on it or watch some gameplay of it. It's definitely not a go buy it right now.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw it in the Steam. I was monitoring your actions. Keeping track of what's going on with the Justin over there. Yep. Yeah, that's what I do, man.
So, since you were all hot and ready to jump in there, Dolan.
Always.
You know, and the reason I said hot and ready is because I'm kind of hungry for a Little Caesar's pizza. I could do that right now.
Some crazy bread.
You know, I don't think the bread's all that crazy.
This podcast brought to you by Little Caesars.
Little Caesars, official crappy pizza,
pizza
of
pizza.
The podcast.
Do they still make them square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Actually,
the ones I get are always. I do think the squares. Dish. Yeah, the deep dish is still around. Yeah. But when I, it's rare that a hot and ready finds its way into my mouth. I don't apologize for that phrasing, by the way. But every now and again at work, for example, there will be a day where, you know, we really can't get away from our desks.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but every now and again, somebody brings up the hot and ready, and there you have it. You know, a few minutes later, you're eating a Little Caesars, and it is,
you're face deep in that thing.
Face deep in a hot and ready. So you get tongue warts. Yeah, it's like, it is totally serviceable cheap pizza.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I used to order that all the time when I was, you know, like, I would go to my job at a restaurant making a, you know, zero money, and, you know, then you're like drinking with your friends and everybody chip in for, you know, basically four giant square pizzas that cost, you know, $17 or something like that. It was good. It's for what it was good.
Yeah. I mean, good is overstating it. It's,
yeah,
it's perfectly mediocre. It's
hot and ready.
It's hot and ready, and it's going to take you no time. It's going to be cheap. And at the end of it, you can say, with all honesty, I have eaten a slice of pizza. And that's that's about as much as I will say for it. But it still finds its way, you know, into my life more than I'd like to admit. Anyway, point being, John, what have you been playing? That was just prelude.
Even with being massively sick, I was writing up my list of what I actually did touch on, and I played quite a few things. I jumped back into Minecraft because they released a huge new update. They added tons of shit to it, and I've got the news story. We can kind of go over some of that later if we have time, but lots of new mobs in the game, new animals, all kinds of new. There's like even new fish in the game, bunch of new crafting recipes, and they just, I'm constantly amazed that they just keep supporting that game as well as they do. Microsoft taking it over, there was a lot of people that were kind of cringing at that idea, but they've treated it really well. I am a huge fan. I haven't played it on PC in a long time. I played exclusively on console now because the interface for that is fantastic. It's just super nice. I was playing with my son the other night, and we spawned a world, there's an editor built in now, and you can specify what blocks you want on what layers. So you can say, I want, we did a super flat world, so there's absolutely no terrain whatsoever. It's just perfectly flat. And we made it so that the top layer was grass, one block of grass and dirt, and then 17 layers of dynamite.
Right.
My son picked these numbers, and then he said he wanted nine. Underneath that was nine layers of lava, and then bedrock.
Well, didn't it just immediately explode?
So dynamite, for some reason, it will not light on fire from like directly underneath. It will only catch on fire on if it's like adjacent to a fire causing block.
All right.
And I don't know why. Anyway, so we did that, and so obviously the first thing you do is you dig a hole through that first layer of dirt, and then you stick down a redstone torch to activate the dynamite, and then just giant holes keep exploding, and it just doesn't stop. Like, it just keeps going. But what's cool about it is you kind of get to see like some of like. You would naturally think that if you had an infinite plane of dynamite, that if you set it off in the middle, it would just spread out in one giant concentric circle. But because of the way the code works and whatever it is that's behind it that's actually calculating that, it actually kind of blows up in a single direction. Like, it always ends up going, like, I don't know specifically which way it is. I think it is towards sunrise. So it's always going towards the east. And then, like, the westerly direction of the explosion kind of dies out, and it doesn't keep exploding that way. But you get these big, long, wide columns of where it explodes out that are maybe like 20 or 30 blocks wide. But then it just kind of keeps on heading west. And for some reason, like, the way it is coded just makes it do that. So it's kind of interesting. So, you know, you run around in there for a while and just blow the shit out of everything, and you know, you play in creative mode and you can spawn whatever you want. And it's just, it's still continues to just be a super fun game. So, I played a little Rebel Galaxy after Bo talked about it last
week.
Sure.
I played some more of that as well.
That's a super pretty game. And I do like the borrowed, volley, combat system, kind of borrowed from, Black Flag, or just basically kind of any naval simulator you've ever played. The story seems like perfectly, like, adequate. It didn't seem like there was, you know, anything ridiculously offensive going on where it was just like, oh god, this is fucking terrible. Like, it was like, okay, go find your mom because she's got this, or your aunt, is that what, that's what it
yep,
was?
Yep.
And she's got some possession waiting at the star base for you. So you go there, and then this guy's like, oh yeah, I can tell you where your mom is, but you know what? She's not, I can't find the information yet. So go do this mission, and then sends you out and you go kill some pirates or whatever. And then you come back, and the warping around is really cool. I like how that works. It's not, I really liked it in Elite Dangerous when you hit that warp drive and kind of the ramp up and the slowdown and stuff. But this one's more just like, you just hold down the gas and it ramps up. And then all of a sudden you're in, like, you know, like sublight speed, basically. I don't know if it was like kind of a warp. You get going pretty fast. But like the ease that you can kind of drop in and out of high speed, and the ease that you can switch between your side volleys and then your little turret guns that you've got mounted. All that was real fun. The only real problem I had with it, and it's probably just like an educational issue that I just don't have enough experience with it, was some of the battles I was having early on, I was having trouble knocking the guy's shields down so I could actually do any damage to them. And I couldn't quite figure out, all right, well, do I need to get like five or six volleys on this guy and then switch to the cannons? Or it was like, there were some early on fights that were taking me like a half an hour to figure out how to beat the guy. And I knew I was just kind of doing something wrong. So I need to get back to that and kind of figure that out.
Yeah, there's, you are a Google search away from probably being just fine. Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. It's really, you know, super pretty. The music, as you said, the sweet, sweet, swampy Tejas slide guitar action sound and shit that just is perpetually in the background is really, really nice. You totally feel like you're in a space western. I got that right away. I'm definitely going to go back to that. It was a casual, I want to play a space simulator, but I don't want the headache of pulling out the, you know, the joystick and make sure that the keys are all fucking programmed right so I can fly this thing. And it was just kind of like an easy, dumbed down version of one of those. So,
yeah. I mean, I almost hesitate to use the term dumbed down, but it's...
No, yeah, I mean, it's like complete. I don't want to make it like sound like it's half-assed in any way, but it's not simulation.
Right. It is. That's a better way to say much more arcadey than simulation. Yes, yeah.
So that was a good time. I've had Bloodborne for a while. I got it on Black Friday deal for $20, and it's been sitting around for a while. And I fired it up. And this is on one of the days when I was feeling pretty bad, so like my tolerance for bullshit was pretty low, so it probably wasn't the right choice.
Yeah.
But I fired that up and kind of went through. There's just like a real brief kind of intro that you got to go through, like a little prologue. And then you kind of spawn in this big mansion, and the game looks cool, and it's definitely got, you know, it's From Software does it, so it's definitely got that the vibe from all their other games, which I'm blanking on the title right now.
Dark Souls.
Thank you.
Demon Souls.
It's got that. It's a better looking one of those. Like the game looks really, really nice. And the creatures in it are just, you know, from what I've seen, are just absolutely fucking horrifying and gross. And but my experience so far was got in the game, got through the lead up, and I just kind of wanted to get in and get a feel for it. And, you know, just see if it looked as good as I thought it was going to. And I get to, like, the very first thing that you do is you're trying to get out of this mansion, and there's this giant, just hideous fucking werewolf-looking creature. And one of the things in the game is there's this feature where there's little, like, demons crawling out of the ground. And I think some of those are hints from other players where, like, if somebody died. And so you go up to that, and it says interact, and you interact with it by hitting the X button. And then kind of almost like a laser hologram silhouette shows up of the previous player, and it shows what they did. And every one of those I came to, the little silhouette would appear, and it was like a knight with a shield and a big sword, and he would go running up to where this giant, horrific werewolf thing was about 50 feet away from me. And you would see him swinging his sword, battling against an invisible enemy because the real one that's there doesn't react to this fake thing. But you could see he's like just kind of fighting for his life, and then he would just get like he would go flying across the room because the thing like slashed him and killed him. It's like, oh fuck. And then I go up to the next one, and it's some other different looking character because there's like a character creation at the beginning of this. So it's like what the person made their character look like, apparently. And the next one runs up and comes from behind the thing, and then you can see him like running away. And then, like, falling down on their face like they got killed from behind. And after seeing about five of those, I was just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. So I walked up behind the werewolf, and I got right up next to it, and it didn't attack me. So I'm just like, okay, well, obviously if you attack this thing, it just fucks you up. So since every one of those other, you know, things that I saw, everybody got killed, I'm just going to figure out how to walk away from this fucking thing. And I hit the wrong button, and I punched it. And it murdered me.
Well, sure. You don't, you know, it's a very Jim Croce line here, but you don't tug on Superman's cape, and you don't suck and punch a werewolf. That's just logic, sir.
So I booted it back up and got to the same spot, and I was just like, I just don't have the patience for this right now. So that's my experience in Bloodborne so far. And I knew it was going to be like that. Like, I know I'm going to get killed a lot in that game, but it was just like right out of the gate, you're dead. You're playing Bloodborne, you get to die once right away, and that is how it's going to be.
Well, you might as well, you know, pop the cherry, so to speak. It's going to happen a bunch. You might as well. It's not like you were going to have some, you know, level of autism where you were just like,
I was just gonna one life
it. Like, I don't understand. Like, this game, I just get it. I get what's going on in this game. I just can't lose.
I've never played Bloodborne before, but I feel like I'm gonna speedrun it.
Right. I haven't seen any of this content, at least not in any meaningful way, but I have an almost zen like, you know, like appreciation for the world and its mechanics.
Yeah. So it looks cool, and I'm certainly not qualified to judge it at all, but it's just kind of funny to me that, like, you know, it has a reputation for just being a horribly difficult game, and my first experience was to just get my ass handed to me right out of the gate. So I'm anxious to get back to it. I'm looking forward to it. It's just
I got to be in the right mindset. Now that I'm feeling better, I think I can deal with it a little bit more. But it was just like, at the time, I was just so fucking tired and just worn out from coughing and feeling sick. And it's just like, this is the last straw. I just turned off my PlayStation and went to bed.
Yeah, I mean, if your body's already in some form of revolt, the last thing you need is a video game telling you what a piece of shit you are, too.
It's like, I'm so tired. I just got punished, man. So I put that down. I kind of had the exact same experience with Alien Isolation.
I could see that.
I turned it on, got to the part where I see the alien for the first time, and I got killed, and I turned it back off because I was feeling terrible. So I don't know why I'm choosing to play all these punishing-ass games when I was feeling so bad, but I went back into... So after that experience, I went back into Broken Age. I went right to the point-and-click adventure games. I could have something coddle me a little bit.
Right. Like, oh, this is friendly.
Oh, it's colorful, and characters are really cute. I'm about halfway through the second act of that, and I'm still having a really good time with it. I know the Steam sale's coming up. It started today, didn't it? And if you see that on there and you're into adventure games at all, that's still, I highly recommend that one. If you guys watched on Giant Bomb, they started a new series on there, the Project Beast, where they're playing Kerbal Space Program.
I have seen some of that. Looks real fun.
So there are two episodes into it, and it's fantastic. You know, so I've had Kerbal Space Program for a long time. Like, I bought it way back in early access, and I played the tutorial, and I never dedicated enough time to figuring out how to play it. Like, I would build a rocket that was just this crazy, super overpowered. Like, it was, you know, huge fuel tanks with like 50 jet engines on it, and I would launch it up into the atmosphere and it would parachute back down, and I did that, you know, a few times. I was like, yeah, this seems cool. I need to dedicate some time to actually figuring out how to play this game, and I never went back to it. And they started doing that series, and it totally rekindled my interest in that game. So in the last since the last recording, probably like in the last week and a half, I've probably played about 20 hours of Kerbal Space Program.
Nice.
And that game is fucking awesome.
Yep.
It is so tight. And then the news that just happened yesterday, where SpaceX landed that rocket vertically.
Yep.
And a bunch of my friends are like posting on Facebook like, this is amazing, this is so cool. The urge to not just to just post, yeah, I fucking did that last night in Kerbal Space Program.
Right. I can't believe they didn't do it before. Like, this game was right here all along to teach us.
Yeah. So it's so cool because it's got, you totally get the vibe of what it must be like to, like, have to do something that's that complicated, because you build this rocket and you fire the first one off and you're guaranteed, and they load these little Kerbal guys, these little green dudes, and they don't speak English. They're just kind of these little characters, and they just talking kind of gibberish, and they die a lot because your rockets suck. And you kind of feel bad. But at the same time, the progression. So the rocket that I launched last night when I was playing is like a direct descendant of the very first thing that I built in it when I got back to it this time. So I've just been adding on to the same design, slightly modifying it to get it into orbit more efficiently, or get it, you know, up in the air, get to about 70,000 kilometers, and then you turn sideways, and whichever way the Earth is rotating, you face so that you are moving around the Earth so that it's, you know, rotating past underneath you from your nose to your tail. And then you accelerate, and then that's how you spread out. Instead of just the arc that would take you up into space and then drop you right back down, you're spreading that out into an orbit by basically accelerating so quickly that you just keep, you're still falling towards the Earth perpetually, but you get going so fast that you just kind of keep missing the Earth. You're going fast enough to where you can never actually fall on it, and that's how you achieve orbit. So the first time you do that, you're like, it took me like 15 tries to actually get the orbit right. Like, I would just fucking burning up in the atmosphere and exploding and coming in. Like, I didn't get up high enough, so I was still in the atmosphere, and I'm trying to get an orbit going, and it's just not possible because of the drag of the atmosphere. And so you burn up your parachute, and you're like, well, fuck, I'll just land. But you don't know your parachute's gone until you try to pop the fucking thing. So the guy splashes into the ocean going, like, you know, 500 meters per second, and he gets squished that way. And then you finally get one in orbit, and then you're like, great. But you're out of fuel, and you can't get it back down. And so you just leave that guy in space and you hire a new Kerbal.
So I've got a guy that's just floating around the planet right now.
Slowly starving to death and going space crazy.
He's up there. He's up there just floating around. And so you build, you know, you go back and you add on, okay, well, obviously I need more fuel. So now I've got like this 7-stage rocket where it's got these 3 huge fuel tanks on the bottom with this gigantic fucking engine. It's got solid fuel booster rockets that just super fast accelerated up to about 10,000 feet. You hit the space bar, those break off and fall away. Burn through the main tanks. You hit the space bar again, the main tanks fall away. You're at about 70,000 meters at that point. Turn to the side. I've got another set of engines on a much smaller rocket, you know, and you turn that sideways and you get going. And because you're out of the atmosphere, there's much less resistance, so you use a lot less fuel. So you can kind of, it's like you learn as you're building this thing, what is my, you know, I've got to lift a lot of weight at the beginning of this to get the spaceship into orbit. So I need all this heavy duty, you know, liftoff power. But then as you get up to about 15,000, 30,000 meters, the atmosphere starts to thin. So it doesn't require as much, but you still efficiently want to like separate those modules in a smart way so that you're getting kind of the most out of your fuel efficiency. So you've got room to maneuver once you get into space and you just keep building that. So the last thing I finally did last night was I got into orbit around Earth and got into orbit around the moon. And then could not figure out how to get my orbit right on the way back and ended up coming in really shallow into the atmosphere. That's another thing you got to figure out is you can't just like, you would think you just go up and then you just fall back down and you pop your parachute, but you don't spend enough time in the atmosphere to reduce your speed if you're just coming straight into the Earth. So you have to come in at an angle. So you spend a lot of time slowly entering the Earth's atmosphere so it slowly takes speed off of your craft. And then, you know, you get to a point where you can actually pop the parachutes and they don't just get like ripped off of the ship. So I got up, went once around the moon, set my trajectory back to the Earth and got back to the Earth. But the way that I had set the trajectory was too steep and I burned up in the atmosphere and exploded. So then the next iteration is okay. Now I've made it this far. And so each time you fire up a new rocket, you just kind of like get incrementally further. And I've looked up online some videos of these guys where they kind of show some of their progression. And there's other planets. So you can go to the moon. There's also like a Mars. They have different names in the game. They're not Earth, Mars, whatever. But people are sending these machines that they've built to basically the Mars analog, where they have a lander that's got solar panels on it, and it actually has drills mounted on it that can mine things off the surface of the planet that they can then turn into fuel so that they can return back to the Earth, and it just gets crazy. So it is really super deep and super fun, and the fact that it's kind of got these whimsical little dudes that are your pilots is really funny. They have just these crazy awesome looks on their faces, but I'm having a blast with it.
Let me ask you this, because I don't like learning things. Do you feel that this is somehow educational?
I understand how rockets get into orbit now. Like I for the longest time I was shooting them straight up and going, aren't I supposed to just like float around the Earth now?
All right, I'm out.
It's pretty complicated, but man, it just feels so fucking good when you It's really epic looking, you know, like the graphics are not the greatest. They're really, you know, basic, you know, just kind of, it's not polygonal. It's a little smoother than that, but it's, your big giant rocket that you've got going up and you just hit the button to separate the boosters and they kind of just peel away like you've seen a million times on TV, and then hit the button again and that next engine kicks in and it just, you know, there's this really loud, you know, roar to it. And, man, it's really satisfying. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I can see myself putting a lot of hours into this game. It's just you just kind of feel like you're fucking around the whole time you're playing it, and it's just fun. So
now, can you send up like Kerbal space monkeys?
No.
That's essentially what these guys are.
Okay, so there's no we're just skipping the test animal phase and going straight to you know, we'll tell your wife you love her.
Exactly. Basically, that's it. So I've got one guy that was, he was floating in the ocean for about 10 subsequent launches because I couldn't figure out how to, like, get him back. And it's, you highlight him and say, you know, retrieve this guy, and it does it. But he just had to float out there in his capsule for, like, you know, 10 hours.
Yeah, he came.
Because I didn't know how to get him.
Comes back a little nutty.
Yeah.
Doesn't like close doors anymore.
No. that game is a blast, though. And it was currently on sale, and I think it's with the Steam sale, I'm sure it'll be. It was on sale for like $23. Worth every penny. And then I played, I'd say a fair amount of Destiny.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. That game's interesting.
I feel like the representation of that game is, as we have discussed it on this show, is who cares about the story, the shooting is fun, and the loot is good enough to keep you coming back.
Yeah, there's something more to it, though. I can't quite figure out. And obviously, the graphics are beautiful. It plays really well. Like, it's a top-notch, well-designed game. The story is absolutely just, like, throwaway. Like, 5-10 minutes into the game, I just did not care.
How could you possibly?
At all. Yeah. It's just so... It's too much. The only problem I was having with it was some of the quests systems are kind of unclear. Like, even after we played that one time when we were doing that kind of a multi-part quest where we were going around this area and kind of pulling those beacons, and then an instance of that part of the quest would pop up. I played for like another hour and a half. I still could not get that quest to complete. I couldn't figure it out. It wasn't like evident, like, because it was like this multi-part quest, you could replay parts of the quest, and that was leading to the problem where I couldn't find the ones I needed to get the check marks in the boxes that said, yes, you've fulfilled all the requirements of this quest. So there was still kind of a where the hell am I supposed to be going problem I was having with it. Once again, that's probably a Google search.
Yeah, around, but that is a chronic problem with that game. You're not the first person to have that problem. I've had it.
Yeah.
Our listener Andy has had it.
Yeah.
There's some problems with, you know, kind of basic pathfinding of here's where you go to do this thing. And the game is not deep enough that just striking out and exploring is a thing you want to do.
And that's just not how you play that game.
Yeah, but, you know, the enemies are constantly respawning, and, you know, after you've fought the same pack of enemies a couple of times, yes, the shooting is super fun in that game, but...
You want to move on.
Enough already.
Like, if there was no... If there was no loot... This is why I kind of got tired of the Halo games, is what propelled you forward in that was story, even though it was still kind of the same sort of wishy-washy crap. There was no loot in Halo. And I mean, you would find like, oh, here's a needler. All right, I'm going to pick that up because that's a cool gun. Oh, here's a, you know, one of these. Here's one of those, whatever. Here's a new plasma rifle or something. So it at least had that going for it. But Destiny's deeper than Halo to me. The guns and like the way that they're, you know, the carrot on a stick is there in a way that it's not in the Halo series. But at the same time, it's the exact same problem. It's not like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go to complete this quest. It was like, oh, there's a white thing on the ground. I guess that's some loot. I'll pick it up. And then, like, if I want to know what it is, I got to dive into my menus and I got to go down. And some of the things are unidentified, so the only way to actually find out what you got is to go back to the tower and have the guy identify it for you. And that's basically how – that's anything good that you're going to get. You have to leave the battlefield to find out what it is and then use it. So it's like you're playing the game to find all the sweet, sweet loot, but as soon as you get a piece of it, you got to stop playing the game.
I see, I don't mind that too much because I like picking up, you know, 3, 4, 5 of them things.
Yeah.
And then
yeah. and that's how you have to do it. You know, it's like you're going out, get a bunch of this shit, and it's I'm not quite sure why I understand why they did it that way. We're in like a Diablo. I mean, there's still things you need to identify in Diablo, but like the things that are like that that drop are super rare. Like you get a legendary and it's a big deal. It's like, oh shit, I got a legendary. I'm going back to town because this is going to be fucking awesome. And with Destiny, it's like, oh yeah, I got a green Ingram. That'll be better than what I have. So, you know, I'll get back there eventually and then I'll redo my inventory. But right now, the gun I've got is probably good enough.
Yeah.
So it's more of an incremental increase, whereas like loot drops in something like Diablo are like, oh shit, something big just happened. This is going to, you know, change my game. I'm going to be like overpowered for a little while and it's going to feel fucking awesome. So
yeah,
I feel like I've heard the rumors that when they did the Taken King, they actually brought the guys from Blizzard in to kind of help them revamp their loot system a bit. And from what I've read, it's much better now. So I think I have the advantage of having never played Destiny before the Taken King came out. From what I've heard, everything at the beginning of the game has been basically reworked and is way better. So just with, you know, the articles I've read about on other podcasts, I've heard people, you know, talking about what it used to be like. I don't think I would have liked it before. I think I would have just put it down and said no.
Yeah, well, we all, you know, tried that demo and basically said thanks but no thanks. And, you know, the fact that Taken King came out was generally well regarded and buying into Destiny for, you know, 40, 50 bucks with everything made more sense. Yeah. And
I got it for $40. It's perfect for that price. And so the last thing that I would have to say about it is it's a fun game. I've played it by myself, you know, for probably 4 or 5 hours. But if it didn't have the multiplayer where I could sign on with you and Power Listener Andy, I wouldn't play it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have enough in that single player thing to really keep me going. But as a multiplayer co-op experience, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm in the exact same place with Destiny. I don't necessarily play it on my lonesome. Every now and again, I'll, you know, pop it in. But if we're going to get together and play a game, it's kind of my preferred multiplayer game right now. Because the shooting is so good and because it's so easy to form your fire team and kind of get into some business pretty quickly.
Yeah, and they got all that stuff right. Like, if you want to play together, boom, you're in a match together, let's go. It was simple.
Yeah.
So. I think one of the reasons it's more fun to play in a group like that is one of the things that's fun about Diablo and other loot games is talking with your buddies about, oh man, I just got this fucking sweet rifle. And it's like, oh damn, that sounds pretty sweet, man. I wonder if I'll, you know, what I'll get that'll be cool like that. So it's got that fun, you know, the one-upsmanship of, oh man, nice drop. You know, it's got that going on to it. So that added level just kind of makes the co-op way more fun than playing that game single player.
Yeah.
So.
And plus when we're playing multiplayer, I can show you guys what a stone cold killer I am in that game.
You're talking about your dance moves, right?
That partially that we do have. If you haven't watched any of the video, then please do. But on scfgaming.com. But we have kind of a rule where the game forces you occasionally to use your ghost, your little robot helper, to scan something for no good reason. It's just it's
because they want to deliver useless story to you.
But the only way to make that tolerable for me is that as soon as the ghost is deployed, I just start the stupid dancing that the game allows. And
it's got straight up MMO dancing in it. You just hit left on the D-pad and your dude starts doing his stupid robot dance.
So, I mean, every time we would get to one of those checkpoints where one of us would throw out our little robot, he's scanning the thing. Oh, well, this looks interesting. Oh, apparently the so-and-so's left this thing so that the other guys could do the thing to, from the, remember that thing we were talking about before that you totally don't care about? Blah, 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 blah. And the whole time, Bo and Andy and I are all just doing these sweet pop-lock and dance moves around the thing and... makes it tolerable.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you go back to the tower, the video in question is basically us all, you know, kind of goofing, doing some straight up clowning with the dancing. But we just kind of surround a dude and dance around him. Yeah. And point. You can point to.
This is fucking stupid.
So dumb. It's so stupid. It is the dumbest thing about that game. Like, that game has layers of dumb to it. And and at the gooey dumb center of that game is that is the stupid MMO gestures that they've baked into this thing. It is it is worthless, but I kind of love it.
It's something to do while they're making you listen to their story,
and it makes it kind of hilarious to me that you, as you know, a guardian or whatever the hell you know, you're. I've played that game for. Solidly, let's say just 10 to 15 hours to be conservative about it. And I have no idea what the hell's going on anywhere, anytime. I just go where the markers tell me to go.
Yeah, go to here and shoot this shit. And then sometimes you hop on your sweet speeder bike and you take that thing there. And it's satisfying as a shooter.
Yeah. If the game, and and from what I understand, that when you get into. Some of the later stuff in the Taken King story and things like that, it actually starts to gel and have a pretty good story. Which, if that were the case, I'm totally for it. But the early game,
but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And the early game stuff is real stupid. And like you said, it's almost unnecessarily dense with its own mythology.
It is. It's really over the top bad with that crap. It's just foul with that shit.
It is. Yeah, it is just sick with all this. Like, okay, we're going to make this such a different world than the one you know that at a certain point apathy sets in. You know, where it's just like, okay, I don't know who these characters are. There's like three different alien races that aren't well explained in terms of what their intentions are or what their goals are. It's just, these are things to shoot. And after that, who cares? But
like when I played Mass Effect, there was always kind of those side species that they would, like you're walking around on the Citadel and, oh, these are the so-and-sos and they're well known for this, and here's the codex on them, and you know, go in and read all this crap about them. I feel like everything in Destiny is like that, like the side tertiary. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm already getting what I need out of this game. I just don't need to go any deeper. Thanks, though.
Yeah, but I cared about that stuff way more.
I know, in Mass Effect, like, some of it was kind of interesting. Like, it was way
well, better. Like, you had the alien race that... spoke in a monotone, so they couldn't inflect their voices, so they had to include the inflection as part of the dialogue.
In the sentence as words,
Like, that was really cool. And, Mass Effect built such a better sci-fi universe in which to play and had more species and whatnot, but still managed to be, you know,
interesting.
Yeah, like a compelling story, and even the background stuff was, it felt creative but familiar enough. Like, I think that's Destiny's big problem, is that everything is so unfamiliar as just a human being playing a video game on Earth, as I am most
like,
times.
Part of the video games for me is, you know, when you're playing a good one, you get sucked in a little bit. Like, you know, there's points of Mass Effect where you're, like, really invested and... you actually kind of care about the characters and what happens to them. And you kind of see yourself in, you know, the avatar that you're controlling. And in Destiny, I feel like if I was actually in that universe and I was like really there, every time somebody talked to me, I'd just be like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it would just be a constant stream of, what?
I feel like I'd just be going, ugh, all the time.
Yeah, and
Oh, you're going to talk again. Oh, great.
Actually, yeah, the ghost is the only character that I listen to even a little bit. And but anytime you go into like the tower hallway or the big court, and they're like, "Well, hello, guardian. Here's some valuable information about the world that you're in." And
yes, now we need you to go to
sentences in, you're like, "What are you even talking about?"
Can I skip this?
Yeah, I haven't paid attention to the story this far, and now you're building on information I don't have. This is all just garbage.
Every time you boot up Destiny, they need a function where it just goes previously on Destiny.
Right.
and you get the 60-second summary.
You know, at some point, I ought to do myself a favor and just go to the wiki page and just read, like, okay, here's what the story of this game is, because the game is not adept at telling it to me. Maybe one of the nerds on the internet is a little bit better at spelling out what the hell is going on in this game.
Give me the summary. I don't really care what the name of the professors are in Harry Potter. Just tell me like the gist.
Right. I don't.
So that when I'm forced to watch this movie with some nephew or something, I can just be like mildly interested in the special effects and. I don't care.
I get your point. I'm not crazy about you throwing shade at Mad Eye Mooney. But I'm gonna allow it. Have you?
that is my list. So yeah, I mean, Destiny. I don't want to shit all over it because I was having a good time, and I think most of that was due to the fact is that I was playing it with you guys, and it's a fun co-op experience.
Yes. So. Yes. Yeah. You said that was all you had.
That is my list.
Yes. You know, obviously I played Destiny as well.
How far are you into it now? Have you played more since the last time we multiplayer?
I have not. Shit? You know, because we haven't played. So, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's what I mean. It's like when you guys are available and the texts start going around, it's like, hey, you guys want to play some Destiny? They're like, yeah, but until that happens, I'm not going to be playing that game. So.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I have played that. I played some more Rebel Galaxy, which I enjoy quite a bit. That game satisfies me on a surprisingly deep level because it is so welcoming, I suppose.
It's very easy to get into.
And like you said, the story isn't great at this point, or at the point in the game I'm currently at, but I really like it. I like kind of the simplicity of it because it is a game that I can kind of, you know, throw a podcast on in the background or something like that and just shoot some spaceships, and that makes me happy.
I like that it's got so I think I asked you when you said you'd been playing it, I asked if it was like MechWarrior at all, and now that I've played it, it's exactly like MechWarrior in its the way that it delivers the story to you, where you go to a space station and you go to a bar and there's a headshot of the character on the screen, and they're like an animated, you know, 3D looking thing. And the text that they are speaking to you is also displayed on screen. So you can speed read that shit and hit, yes, I will take this mission and go. And that's like an old school quest system where it's like, you've completed your thing, you've turned it in, here's the next mission, here are possibly a couple of other missions, and you can just kind of, yep, let's do that, and then get back out into space and fucking do what you want to do. It's not forcing you to, you know, I don't give a shit about the fucking five houses in MechWarrior. Like, I don't care what your goddamn politics are, just get me in a fucking giant robot so I can blow some shit up, you know? So, it does that really well.
Yeah. I would agree with all that. I enjoyed that game quite a bit. And I even listened to the Spotify playlist built around the songs from that game more than I oughta. Nice. In fact, I'm like a half step away from just buying like an old style Colt revolver and listening to that music constantly and just walking around town like I'm the sheriff until someone arrests me rightfully. a lot of things I like about that game. I played a little Massive Chalice which is a game that I played a while back and revisited.
That's a 2015 release game, isn't it? I didn't have that on my list. Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of going back through a handful of games that I was considering for our, you know, the top 10 list. And Massive Chalice is a really nice blend of RTS, turn-based strategy, and kind of an XCOM-y kind of feel. And not commie, XCOM-like.
It's like a reformed right? Russian.
Not an ex-commie, it's comrades, but...
It's like a Sean Connery in Hunt for Red October.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
an ex-commie. Yes. Okay.
And Alec Baldwin is dropped into the game at a certain point to get it out of trouble. All right, so the game, as you may recall from a description, you know, months ago at this point...
Previously on the showcast.
So there's the turn-based strategy stuff, which is kind of the real gameplay of it. And the other side of it is kind of a Crusader Kings 2-ish, you know, hierarchy sim of, like, I'm going to take this character, put him in charge of this land. I'm going to marry him up with this person. If they have kids, I'm going to use them in battle. All right, so I...
As you do with children.
Sure. Well, they have to be of a certain age. You can't just throw a 7-year-old into the fray.
Well, you can. Well,
the game has limitations, Dolan. It's not a monster.
Okay, all right.
But I do like the fact that, like, you know, the traits of the parents will translate into the child. So, you know, because of me not managing any of that very well... Pretty much all of the heroes I'm using for battle are drunk most of the time and asthmatics. I mean, like, I am nice. Playing this game with basically just the most ragtag crew of inefficient, unexpected heroes, and they die a lot.
Those are always the best stories.
Yeah. And, like, I had forgotten. It had been a while since I'd played, and I forgot, like, what a grim place I left that game. So.
Oh, finally, our benevolent overlord has returned.
Just in time to see, like, three of the key, like, you know, the areas where we could potentially build kingdoms. Just totally abandoned because the heroes that ran the country are dead or they've gotten so old that they can no longer procreate and there's no children. It's just, we're waiting for somebody to die so we can put somebody else on that seat. It's really fun in that sense of you can put yourself in a really bad position, which I have. Where I don't have enough heroes. Like, I'm down to... I think you can go in with six... I want to say it's five or six heroes. And I've got about four that can actually make it to the battlefield, you know? And behind the scenes of that, like, you're doing research and stuff to kind of build different structures that give you bonuses in certain areas on your map, which has about... Like, you know, 7-8 unique areas. The big problem with that game, I feel, is that the turn-based stuff, most of the maps are fairly similar. There's not a whole lot of variation, although part of this, too, is that, again, because of my poor management, most of the heroes I have are the same class. And that's all I'm generating at this point because those are the only people making babies for my kingdom.
Like white trash? Or
there is some banjo playing going on in this kingdom. There is no doubt. But that game is real fun. Like that, it's kind of a nice time suck where you'll sit down and kind of monkey around with the family elements for a bit and then jump into a battle. And then look at some research, and then, you know, before you know it, like 2-3 hours have passed as you're playing this game. And I like Massive Chalice a lot. I think it's a good game. I almost don't play it as much as I should just because every time I play it, it's like 2.5 hours just whiz by.
I might have to pick that up on a Steam sale.
Yeah, you should. If you can get this thing for around $10, that is worth every penny.
Okay.
And I finished, and there is a review on the site now for Rise of the Tomb Raider. I like that game a whole lot. I don't think it fell prey to the first game's mysticism. I mean, there is a mystical quality to the game, but it doesn't turn into something that it wasn't at the very end. Okay. Yeah, like everything about that game is just the Tomb Raider reboot, but better. And I like all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that to come to PC.
Yeah, that's definitely...
You just know it's going to be fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to playing it again. You know, not a terribly long campaign. It was probably, you know, between 15, 20 hours, and I was wrapped up.
That's fine.
And there's plenty
that's enough.
Go back and do, you know.
Okay.
But I like that quite a bit. And I feel like I'm missing something significant. We talked about Destiny. Yeah. Maybe it'll come to me in some sort of fever dream of something else I've been playing. I'll tell you a game that I've been meaning to play, not to tip my hat about our end of the show conversation, but one that I feel bad that I haven't played yet is Hard West. Because after playing a bit more Massive Chalice,
I've heard some kind of mixed. Yeah, I've heard mixed stuff about it, but it looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like turn-based strategy. I really like XCOM, Enemy Unknown. That was a great game. And playing Massive Chalice made me think, hey, I should play more XCOM. Wait a second, I've got this whole game that I haven't played yet that is, you know, surprise, surprise, appeals to me because it's a Western and turn-based strategy. Why am I not playing this game? And I think I've been kind of cooled a little bit by the fact that the reviews have not been great for that game.
I got good news for you. XCOM 2 is coming out soon.
Oh, man. I love the art for that game, by the way.
I think
I kind of want that poster. I may have to do some legwork to get that thing and get it in the office because I think that looks real creepy.
My clock on the Tomb Raider reboot was 26 hours, and I feel like I did everything there was to do in that game.
I would say Rise of the Tomb Raider is equivalent. I mean, I haven't done everything, but I feel like if I spend
I was perfectly satisfied at the end of that. Like, that was a good 26 hours. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. There was, you know, if there was more to play of that game, I would have played it. But, you know, I was certainly not left wanting anything. So, if it's similar in those regards, I cannot fucking wait to play the game.
Yeah. I think it's a great game. I really, really do. We'll, you know, in fact, let us pivot. And let's do this, guys. Let's get into some shit. In our inaugural top 10 of the year, we're not coming up with a singular top 10 list for the Shotcast as a whole. We have our own top 10 list. We have our own things we've played. I'm very curious about one Justin McFerrin's list.
Before we do this,
build the anticipation. I'm down with it. Let's do it.
Do we have any sort of criteria, or is it just kind of a personal? These are the games I had the most fun with, or I think these are the best games of the year. And if you don't, you're a fucking idiot. Or
I mean, I think the latter.
Or is it up to the individual user?
All right. The way I compose my list. Is these are the 10 games I thought were kind of a blend of I had the most fun with them / most significant, did something I thought was different or unusual or compelling. So what we'll do is we'll round robin this. We're going to start at number 10.
All right.
And start at the bottom of the list. What is the least great game of the year or very good game of the year? And then get to our number ones. What is the best game that we individually have played. And we'll see how this goes. Before we begin, I have one plea to our listening audience. For the love of God, no wagering. Let's begin with the man I am most curious about, Justin McFerrin, your number 10 game of the year.
I'm going to just go with Grand Theft Auto V. I don't think it's, like, you know, in my top five, but it's definitely, you know, it's an ambitious title, and they've certainly did a good job with it.
All right. John Dolan.
My number 10, I'm going to say, is Ori and the Blind Forest. I thought that was a beautiful game. I am not normally a platformer guy, but that is a platformer I can get behind. It was fun without being punishing, and the story behind it was, you know, serviceable. Like it was a story in a way like Limbo has a story, as far as I'm concerned, where it was just kind of like this implied, you know, meaning or quest behind some things. There's more to Ori and the Blind Forest than Limbo, as far as story goes. But absolutely fucking gorgeous game, just straight up. Like hand painted beautifulness, so that would be my number 10.
All right, so far both entries are accepted into canon. My number 10 is Her Story, which I thought was
that was close on mine.
Yeah,
close.
I thought that the way the narrative was presented, coupled with the strength of the central performance in that game, and you know, just some of the kind of weirdness and detective work that you had to do. I enjoyed it a whole lot, and would like to see. I would like to see a game that did the same thing only in a broader sense, like almost more game.
Like if you could incorporate some like in like an LA Noir style something investigative game where you had kind of the database style section to it, where maybe on a mission you're doing more of like a, you know, some sort of a cyber crime has occurred and you need to go investigate, you know, the files on that database or something like that.
Yeah, there's nothing sexier than cyber crime.
Yeah. I mean, they managed to pull it off with this one. You've named the two things that I liked most about it. Her performance. I really like that you do not hear the questioner's voice the entire game. All you hear are her responses. And they justify that in the story that, you know, that they had to recover this from a computer system that was, you know, old and partially defunct, and this was what they got when they recovered those files. The only thing that bothers me about Her Story is I feel like there was a very overblown just, like, love fest for it. Like, it was... I mean, I believe the people that say they liked it as much as they do, but when it first came out, it was just like, this is the greatest fucking thing I've ever seen, and it was kind of way over the top, almost to the point where it like impacted my ability to enjoy it as much as they did, because it was like the bar was set too high. But it was, yeah, it was still, it was in my top, say, 15,
sure,
I would
sure,
say.
Sure, sure.
So,
Justin McFerrin, number 9.
Number 9. I have Dungeon Souls. It's kind of like a top-down bullet hell, roguelike dungeon crawlery kind of game that I picked up a couple months ago. It's early access, but the guide's still developing it pretty regularly. But it's a fun game if you've got, you know, one of those kind of throwaways where you don't get too emotionally involved in it. Play it for 30, 45 minutes and be done with it.
All right, yeah, I've played that. Now I'm curious.
It's fun.
All right, John Dolan, number 9.
Number 9. I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna say Dying Light is my number 9.
It's a good.
Yeah, it's a good solid zombie game. Probably one of the best ones I've played. There are some climbing issues in that game. Like the parkour part of it works pretty good, and I was pretty high on it until we got to that tower.
Yeah,
and that was a pain in the fucking ass to climb that thing. It was very unforgiving.
I'm anxious to get more into it, because it seems like you can really start to get into some crazy shit in that game. But you know, I'm probably maybe 15 hours or so into it now. I played a little more single player, and it's a good goddamn zombie game. And it's another one just like Destiny. If you're gonna play Dying Light, play it co-op, because that is the only way to play that game.
All right, my number 9 is Rebel Galaxy, for all the reasons that we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. I like that game a whole lot. Number 8, Justin.
I have Mad Max on here.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. I think I'm gonna end up playing it more. I don't know. I haven't spent enough time with it to really write it off as a bad game or anything like that. I mean, it's definitely fun. The driving is a lot of fun, but you know, my one gripe with it was the, as soon as you get to like a mission area, it's very linear. I don't know. I think I'll play it some more, and like Dolan said, you know, the further you get, the less of it seems to be that way.
All right. John Dolan.
Let's see, we're on my number 8. I'm going to go with Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time. I think that game's fucking gorgeous, and it has a kick-ass soundtrack, and it's super fun.
Yeah, that barely missed my top 10. It was on my list and just didn't quite get to the top 10.
That happened to me with Rebel Galaxy. It was right around 11.
But no arguments for me. That is a really, really good game. Yep. My number 8, Dark Horse, Batman Arkham Knight.
Ugh.
Controversial pick, depending on which platform.
Yeah, see, I played it on the PS4, and it was totally fine. And there are things that are real dumb about that game, but there are also things that are super fun. And the Arkham series, I've always really enjoyed. Arkham Knight, I think, is maybe the least of the three in terms of satisfying, you know, gameplay and story, but I like that world. It's super pretty, and just jumping into a group of 15 dudes and beating the holy hell out of them never gets tiresome for me. So like, of all the games that have aped the Arkham Batman games combat systems, there's still no one that does it better than the Arkham games. So it's real good. I feel like we're going to talk about that game later, though. number 7.
Kerbal Space Program technically came out this year. It's
my number 7 is Kerbal
that
Space
is mine
Program
as well.
Yeah, so, nice.
Yeah,
it's been out in early access for a long time, but its release date was this year, and it's a fucking great game. It's really, really, really good. There's some bugginess to it. They are still very active with their updating of it, but yeah, I could agree more. That's a solid number 7.
I think, Minecraft at one point was a game that I felt like was for the most sort of creative kind of gamer. You know, Legos for adults. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Kerbal Space Program is Legos for adults with physics. You know,
yeah, and not just like game physics. Like, you need to understand physics. Yeah,
it's just
so. But yeah, Bo, you'd have to learn
too much learning
so.
for that to make my top 10. but I respect the fact that you guys, I don't know, want to be fancy pants smarty people. My number 7 is not Kerbal Space Program. It is The Witcher 3. I think that game is awfully pretty. It is challenging in a way that a lot of action RPGs are not, and has a very mature storyline, and I don't mean it just has boobs. I like that game. I'm not nearly done with it by any stretch, and not nearly as deep as I would like to be in that game. Every time I sit down and play that game, I come away more impressed.
That's a top game on a lot of lists that are coming out. That's the number one game. A lot of people really like that one.
Outlets are fools.
What the fuck they're talking about?
Yeah, that is a number 7 game at best. Yeah, all right. We're working our way through this pretty good. All right, number 6.
Mm-hmm. Broforce. That did.
What? Yeah, wise choice.
Also came out this year. I don't know. That game was just so much fun. You know, it's stupid, and it's just...
It's the arcadiest game that came out this year.
I really wish that I could go to an arcade or had, like, a MAME cabinet, and I could just be there with four friends and play it. Because I feel like there's something about... There would be something about playing that local co-op that would be just so much fun.
The only thing that could make that more enjoyable is if you actually had to put quarters in to keep playing it. Like, it just, it's so much that old school, I just died 3 times, here's another fucking quarter, because I just want to keep playing this goddamn game. It's so good. I agree.
Yep, alright.
It's not my number 6, though.
What's your number 6, then?
Wolfenstein The Old Blood, because more of that game is a fucking okay with
it. All right. I can get down with that.
If you haven't played New Order, get it. If you haven't played The Old Blood, get that one, because they're fucking fantastic Wolfenstein games.
New Order is by far the superior game in my mind, but...
It's hard for me to pick a favorite. I really, really like both of them. New Order, I think I'd have to lean that way too, I guess, but man... Old Blood is a continuation of everything that makes the New Order awesome. So,
all right, my number 6 is also Broforce. I don't know. I mean, we've discussed it, but man, that game is ridiculous fun. And
they keep adding to it. Like, they keep adding more and more heroes, even though it's officially in release. They've put out some new. I forget who they are. There was a really good one. Shoot. They did the Brave Broheart, and they did...
It was the Highlander, Brolander.
Brolander, that's what it was, Nice.
Yep. All right, let's... That's the bottom of our list. Now
should we take a pause for an honorable mention from each of our lists?
Yeah, okay. I'm good with an honorable mention.
I have two that I would like to honorable mention.
You can do one.
Okay, I'll do two.
I have no authority on this show whatsoever.
Unless Justin wants to go first. I don't want to break the order.
I can do
three, actually.
I'll do two real quick. Space Engineers, which is...
Okay.
I've played a little bit of that. There's a lot of people who really love it, and the workshop for that is absolutely crazy. If you ever take a minute and look through all the crazy ships and different things you can get on there. And the other one is Fly Wrench, which is a game I talked about, which is the guy who did Nidhogg.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever played that. And it's his next game after that, which it's entirely too abstract to try and sum up in just a couple words.
But do it anyway.
It's called Fly Wrench. So.
Yeah.
Sure.
There you go.
All right, your honorable mention, sir.
I'm going to have to say Prison Architect,
mm-hmm.
Because if you just want a fuck around in a sandbox and have your actions lead to horrible conditions and possibly deaths of people who may or may not deserve it, that's a really good place to do that. I've talked previously on the podcast about, you know, just stuffing everybody in a giant room in that game and in a general population and just letting them tear each other apart. That's really satisfying. it's officially in full release, and it's the last couple times I've popped in and played it a little bit, it's been really good. Let's see, another honorable mention of mine would have to be Cities Skylines. Because for the same reason that Prison Architect is just kind of a good one of those builder type games, City Skylines is what everybody wanted the latest SimCity game to be. They really nailed it. It's pretty, it's fun. You can do funny things like pipe your city's sewer lines up above your hydroelectric dam and basically power your own city with your residents' shit. So any game that gives me the mechanics where I can do some shit like that is a-okay with me. It's just a really good city simulator. It doesn't have kind of the scenario depth that you know, SimCity 2000 and those older ones had, but it's just a fun place to fuck around and make a city.
All right. Mine would be, as I mentioned earlier, Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time almost made my list. And Massive Chalice is a game that didn't make my top 10, but, you know, catch me on a different day and it would have.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, let's get back into the real business at hand. Top five games. That's serious. This is real.
Serious. Everybody be serious.
Everybody put on your serious hats. Which anyone wearing a hat that just said serious on it could immediately not be taken seriously.
Hey, look at my hat.
Hey, serious over here. I am being totally serious right now.
You there.
Serious. I am serious. Look at the hat. Please. Justin, your number five, seriously.
The Cinco.
Rocket League.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun. Seems like it's got a lot of potential to be around for a long time. I think there's going to be there already is a pretty huge community around it. So I don't know. It's a lot. It's almost as much fun to watch as it is to play it. I think.
Yeah. Plus esports.
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 Esports. All right, Giggles. You're number five.
My number five is Broforce.
Nice.
That game kicks ass.
Yeah. My number five is a game that will not appear on either of your lists. My number five is Tales from the Borderlands. It is a Telltale-ass game, but it is very funny, and it has become the game since Rise of the Tomb Raider has finished. It's the game that I kick back and play just to relax. It's so funny. Oh my god, it's funny. Let me just tell you real quick. There is a scene in which, spoilers, by the way, for Tales from the Borderlands. There is a scene in which you are forced to open a door that is going to give you kind of this a path to a vault key, and to do so, you have to. There's an ocular like recognition light, so you have to, you know, put your eye up to it. And none of the characters in the game have that authorization, but there is a dude in a case that you know does. So you take a spoon from a nearby table and dig out his eye. The first time it goes horribly wrong. And then the second time you get the eye out, hold it up to the light, and it opens up, you know, the computer that allows you to, you know, access the thing. But first, it allows you to access a log in which the character whose eyes you have just dug out is like, oh, things have been going bad here in the facility, so I put myself in suspended animation. All you have to do is hit this key and I'll wake right up. There's a moment
fucking eye.
Yeah, there's a moment where all the characters are like, oh. And it's one of the few times in a game this year where I have laughed really, really hard. Yeah, it's a great game. So,
and I just haven't played that game, so that's why it does not appear on my list. So.
Yeah, and I really recommend it, especially with the Steam sale upon us. I bet you can get that game for, you know, if you can get that game for 10, 15 bucks, it is totally worth it.
Nice.
Okay, so that's number five for us. Number four.
I put Squad.
Getting down in it here.
Squad, even though it's not completely out yet, you can go buy it and play it. So
sounds like a game to me.
Yeah.
Everyone knows I love it.
Squad.
Squad.
Esports!
Sorry.
And you're number four?
Rocket League.
Esports!
Sorry. It's just a little early. Rocket League's super goddamn fun. It's just, if you have not played it, it is a must-play game. I don't care if you're into sports or not. It's just straight-up fun. That's all there is to say about that.
Yeah, no.
And it, like, it kind of a surprise, like, nobody knew it was coming, nobody knew it would hit as hard as it did, and it's still chugging along. Like, it's, that game's making money, so.
Yeah, it is, you know, not to tip our hat, I don't think we have a biggest surprise category, but yeah, this would be the game that would take that. Like, a game that came out of nowhere, and everyone loved it.
Yep, universal appeal.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing not to like. Anyway, my number four is Until Dawn, which sort of revitalized my love of horror games. It did things, you know, much like Tales from the Borderlands. It kind of has that adventure game kind of vibe of, hey, I'm going to make this decision and go through this series of quick time events, and here's the outcome. But it created an illusion of choice that most games don't. And I recently had a conversation with someone who just completed the game where we were talking about who in our game survived and why, you know, and part of mine was, oh, I intentionally killed this character. Like, I made every decision I could to get this person murdered.
And I don't like you.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't like her character. I was like, you're not making it. I don't know what I got to do to make sure that, you know, you don't come out of this in one piece. And sure enough, she got ground up by a big thresher thing. So that was real satisfying. Yeah, that's a real good game. If you have a PS4 and haven't played Until Dawn, you are doing yourself a disservice. That's a real good game. Number three. Top
Fallout
three.
4.
Third place.
Fallout 4,
number three.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really good. I think it's probably up there with, like, Witcher for overall kind of game of the year. I haven't played a ton of it yet, but I think eventually I will get to some pretty cool parts that I've seen already.
You can, in, you know, the first 10 hours of that game, you can really start to get a feel for what it's all about. It's a Fallout game.
All right. For you, Mr. Dolan.
Number three is Fallout 4.
Well.
Fallout 3 was one of my favorite games of all time. Fallout 4 does Fallout 3 better, I think, than Fallout 3 did.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it. Fucking great game. But it is more Fallout. That's like the only kind of thing I can say that takes away from it, and it's not even really a bad thing that there's more Fallout. I'm really loving kind of the upgraded physics and stuff. I've talked previously about my favorite thing to kill in that game is those fucking androids, man. They just come apart real nice. So it's a solid number three. It pains me. These top three games were tough for me to rate, and it kind of pained me a little bit to put that one in number three, but
I gotta tell you, Fallout 4 did not make my list. I feel like that game is just waiting for the mod that cleans up the UI and inventory before I can get into that game, because it is that game is kind of an exercise in frustration to me with the existing menu system. There's a lot to love about that game, but until that stuff gets kind of patched in by the community, I'm sort of hands off that game for right now. Okay, so where are we, number three? Holy crap. Number three is Mad Max.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, it's that seems real high on my list, but the more I thought about it, the more I haven't played it in probably a month. But that was a game that I liked so much playing on the PC. I bought it again for the PS4 because I wanted to play it on. At that point, those two things were separate, different rooms and whatnot. But I was like, I like this game so much. No matter what room I'm in, I want to be able to play it. And I like that game a whole bunch. I think that there is nothing revolutionary about that game, but everything it does, I think it does well, and I just love that world. Yeah. And it's so pretty. Oh, it's so pretty. Yeah. Why is it so pretty?
It's a fucking desert. It shouldn't be that good looking.
Yeah. Oh, it looks,
but it is.
It looks good.
But it is. It is.
Yeah. I really like. I mean, that game, of the open world games that have come out this year, and maybe because it is a little more contained than something like GTA 5 or Fallout, less of The Witcher. The Witcher, you can certainly roam around. But I like the fact that it's like, okay, here's this area, the opening area in particular of like, okay, get your feet wet. Okay, now we're going to open up. And there are certain things that are gated, but there's so much to do in those individual areas that I never had a problem with that. And yeah. I thought that there was just enough linear narrative to it to kind of keep me going and enough freedom to feel like I was doing what I wanted to do in that game. All right. Oh man, top two.
Dun, dun, dun.
The deuce.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's do it, Justin.
Rainbow Six Siege.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I've just been playing a lot of it. I think it's a lot of fun. I think as long as they keep, you know, adding new stuff to it, which it seems like they've got a whole season of DLC, you know, out for it, or planned for it, I think it's going to be around for a while. I think people are really going to, I hope that there'll be a good community that, you know, springs up around it. And you will probably see it in some kind of esports type of stuff at some point, too. I think it's that.
Esports!
The theme of the night is esports. But I don't know. I think you'll see.
You think it's balanced enough to do that?
Yeah, and I think that they're working on it enough that they're going to get everything kind of balanced in the right way. There certainly are some operators that are more useful than other ones, and I think you'll see them address that.
I think Ubisoft would fucking love to have a game that was an esports game.
Yeah, yeah. And they have another Tom Clancy game coming out, that Wildlands, which...
Yeah, the Division as well. Looks,
that's going to be so...
I don't know.
Crushing
my dreams.
I really like how Justin reacted the same way I would if he told me that I could spontaneously generate cupcakes. All right. and not the bullshit like cherry cupcakes and stuff. Yeah. I'm talking good old-fashioned yellow cake and frosting cupcakes. Let's not dick around. Anyway, I got strong opinions. We're going to do top 10 cupcakes right after this. And every notch on that list is yellow cake and chocolate. Number 10, yellow cake and chocolate. Get used to it, because we're riding that all the way to 1.
Number 9, yellow cake and chocolate.
Number 8, surprise entry, yellow cake and double chocolate. This one was sprinkles. All right, John, number 2.
My number 2 is Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Nice.
There is so much fucking game in that game, it is mind-blowing. There is... I can't believe it fucking works, first of all. Just... all the systems that are all like simultaneously operating in that, and your ability to just switch from stealth to just run and gun to right back to stealth fucking works incredibly. It is, I'm shocked that I like a Metal Gear game. It's I don't know. I'm flabbergasted to the point. Like I've bounced off every single one in the series so fucking hard my entire life, and this one is just... it's top-notch, phenomenal. It's a fantastic game. I can't say enough good things about it. Any hate that it gets about bugginess and story shit, it's like, what are you fucking kidding me? You're complaining about the story in a Metal Gear game?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here with that shit. It is so tight. The gameplay in that game is so fucking tight.
All right. My number 2 pick is all of esports! no, my number 2 pick is Rocket League. Again,
I thought you were going to go with Heroes of the Storm.
That too. It's all okay. Of esports is under
esports.
No, Rocket.
I think I just hurt myself.
Now let me tell you about the different kinds of hernias that you can get. Rocket League, I think, as we have mentioned, is it kind of came out of nowhere, and as soon as you score your first goal,
it feels good.
Yeah, when you're playing Rocket League, it's like, oh, I want to feel like this all the time.
I want to feel like this.
Yeah,
give me the ball. Give me the ball. No. Center it. Center it. You dumbass.
Bring it across the middle. You piece of shit.
They're hitting it downfield. You fucking idiot.
Oh, and if you
it's a good game.
Yeah, if you pull off that mid-air shot, are you kidding? My God.
Yeah, that feels so good. Should play some Rocket League.
Yeah, we need to play some more Rocket League. All right, this is it. All of the evening's festivities have been leading up to this moment.
Was that the drum roll?
That was my furious masturbation. The desk sits a little low. Number one, Justin McFerrin, your top game of the year.
Metal Gear Solid The Phantom Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as if that was no surprise to anyone.
All right.
Good game.
Yeah.
Good game.
Can't argue with the number one spot for that.
You know, with number two and number one, I feel like, all right, I need to check the Steam sale and see if that's reasonably priced.
So good.
So good. Oh my God, it's fun.
It's full of esports.
Is it? Alright, I'm in.
You attach balloons to guys and you send them to an esports venue where they esports.
See, at first I didn't realize that was part of the game. Now I'm in. John Dolan, your tippy top game of the year.
I absolutely loved and had the best time playing all year long Mad Max.
Oh, wow. Hands
down.
Okay.
Hands down, my favorite fucking game of the year. I had so much fun for the same reasons that you just said earlier, Bo. I love that universe. They treated it perfectly. The game is absolutely gorgeous. I think it's hands down the best looking game I played this year. I think all the critical hate that it got, I think all those people are fucked in the head because they all liked games that had parts that were, you know, done similarly, like, Shadow of Mordor is in that game, and it's got open world, you know, aspects from other games. But the car combat in that game is so fucking fun. The explosions are gorgeous. The story's actually decent. You know, I think it's good in a way that Mad Max stories are. It got a lot of hate for like the hand to hand combat, and I had a fucking blast with it. I think the system's really deep. It may not be the best game, but I had the most fun playing that game. It was just exactly what I wanted. I was so happy that it wasn't a complete piece of shit like every other movie game. I was like, maybe this will be okay and I'll play it for a while, but it just blew me away with how much fun I had with it. I absolutely love that game.
I'm very pleased to see the amount of Mad Max love that we are showing on this podcast. Between that and esports.
There's surprisingly no esports in Mad Max. Maybe that's one of the reasons I like it.
Yeah, too. Yeah. I mean, wait for the DLC.
Thunderdome.
Yeah. Madden. Who rules Bartertown? My number one game is Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that probably would have been real high on my list had I been able to play.
Sure. It's, you know, I'm a bit of a fan of this series, or the burgeoning series that is the new Tomb Raider. And Rise of the Tomb Raider, as I've said before, does everything that the previous game did, only better and bigger. And I was totally fine with that. I like that game quite a bit. When it comes to PC, in Q1 of next year, I would highly recommend picking that up, full price or not. I think it's going to be gorgeous. It's probably one of those games like next year sometime when it comes out super cheap for the PC, you know, one of those sales or another. I will pick it up again on the PC just to give myself an excuse to play back through it. I've played back, the reboot of Tomb Raider. I've played through that a couple of times, and I fully expect to do the same with, Rise of the Tomb Raider. So,
yeah.
There you have it. top 10 lists. Let's get into some special awards. Let's start with the Bally.
Game I would most likely would most like to delicately place my nutsack on in a loving manner.
Yeah, yeah.
And it with trust and, you know, camaraderie.
Sure, sure. I gotta say, for me, are we doing a single game that we're all gonna agree on?
Yeah, well, no, we each have our own Bally.
You know, I'm just gonna throw.
We can each spare a ball.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw it out there. I think for me that was Mad Max this year. That was the game that I could always go back to and play around. Like I could get serious about completing story missions or just screw around, and I enjoyed it both ways.
I would say I would have said Insurgency a month or two ago, but now that I have Rainbow Six Siege, that seems to me to be like the thing where it's like, oh, I've got 15 minutes, I'll go do Terrorist Hunt, you know, and just do that until, you know, I've got to leave or I got to do something.
So it's time to pick your balls back up and go.
There you go.
I would like to gently place my balls all over Kerbal Space Program.
Yeah. It's not the first time you've said that, but yeah.
There's just like this humanity to these stupid little guys that you're sending up, and you're driven to not kill these little fuckers. And it's like you want to make a good rocket, and you want to get it up, and you want to get it back, and it's just like this. There's the sandbox mode on that has so much shit that you can experiment with, and there's, you know, fucking go to another planet and mine. Like, the possibilities for just doing crazy shit in that game seem pretty much endless. Like, if you wanted to, you could haul parts up into space and build a giant space station that you could then put your guys inside of and let them just orbit around and do their little science experiments and stuff. I'm kind of baffled by how much of that game there is. So that's my Bally.
All right. Do we want to do any others before the shoddy? I feel like we should end with that one.
Yeah. Do you want to do best music?
Yeah, let's do best music. My vote is Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
I am in complete agreement. That is mine as well.
Fly Wrench has a really good soundtrack.
Hmm. Is it what genre is it?
More like electronic.
Okay, and that's what Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time is doing too. But it's like a good trancey, really full sounding electronic music. Okay. It's not necessarily happy, but it's just. It's got a nice zone to it. I don't know how to describe it other than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's really good. That is not my preferred style of music, but man, yeah. it works so well in the game, and it's really like it is a good example of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. It complements the game so well. All right, let's do best story. I will pose. Until Dawn had the best story of anything I played this year. It very cleverly subverts some of the expectations of the horror genre. I wish I had gotten all the way to the end of Tales from the Borderland so far, because that could supplant my nominee. But Until Dawn, I've seen cover to cover. And know for a fact that game lands well too. Yeah, that's mine.
I'm actually going to go with Fallout 4. I just kind of like the way that the story is delivered in that series of games. I like the way that they did the new the comment wheel where you're kind of choosing your responses. I liked, even though it's essentially kind of the same story that Fallout 3 had, where you're searching for your family. I think the story in Fallout 4 benefits from the fact that it takes place in the Fallout 4 universe, and that is just such a fun place to be. that you can just, you could probably pick any character in that universe and you could probably come up with a cool, fun, funny, you know, kind of irreverent. I love that tone that that game has. It's just, it's a fun story. It's not deep. I'm not mired in a bunch of fucking lore that I don't give a shit about. It's just, here's the facts. You're, you know, fucking kid is kidnapped and you're going to fucking hunt down the fuckers that took him and murder those bastards. So I like that.
I will say Metal Gear Solid. Just because.
That's a crazy pick.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Just for the outrageousness of it, I would hope.
The outrageousness and just the character, the Quiet in general, is a really awesome character. And
she is,
your first exposure to her doing a single shot to kill a like fighter jet pilot that's chasing you is one of the craziest and most epic things I've like experienced in a video game.
And it's just done in a totally believable way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the story, I mean, it's like, it's very Eastern, and it's got that Japanese kind of feel to it where you can tell they're writing a... What I like about the Metal Gear 5 story is it's how Japanese culture kind of sees American culture.
Yeah.
It's got a real interesting, like, it's... If I lived somewhere else, like it's a viewpoint that I don't think I would ever get living in the United States of the United States. So it's kind of an interesting take on all that with a whole bunch of crazy ass shit thrown in on the side. But yeah, that's a good story.
All right. Are we at the shoddy?
I think we are.
Lottie Dottie, I likes to shoddy. I couldn't resist. So in my mind, this is the game that most embodies the original intent of the show, nay, the entire site, which is, hey, here's a game that we play so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew in my heart as soon as I heard of this what my game was, and that was Dragon Age Inquisition. That is, yes, a game that gave me 20 to 40 hours of incredible gameplay over the course of about 100 hours. And you guys.
I think that fits the category.
Man, why is that game so long?
Thanks for taking that bullet for the team, man.
Why is that game so long?
You want me to go, Justin?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So in the same vein where Bo took that bullet for me, my shoddy goes to Fallout 4.
Yeah, sure. That was close to mine.
Because it not necessarily the same reason of, obviously a lot of people are going to play this game and you're not going to be as interested in watching me play it as you probably would in playing it yourself. So it falls outside the category in that respect. But where I feel that I can bring the shod to this is I feel like I am a reprehensible person when I play Fallout 4, and I can bring a level of just horribleness to that game that I don't feel like everybody's willing to go to quite the extent that I do in Fallout 4. That brings out the fucking worst in me, and I love that game for it.
I will say Squad, just because, you know... It's not a game for every kind of person out there, but it is fun to talk about playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I've said it before, you have a taste in gaming that adds the paprika.
It brings the shod.
Yeah, it is the it is the spice that makes the show a little bit different, because you are not playing games that most people play.
It's true.
You get a little taste of Justin's taste, and you go, oh, that tastes interesting.
Right. It's tangy and a little bit unusual. It's like a foreign spice that has a flavor that you've never quite experience before.
And you never will.
Right. Yeah. And then you realize that this... You
feel like you're chasing it for the rest of your life.
It's basically sandworm poop.
It's just a hint of rhino penis. Yeah.
Oh, man, if I could get my hands on some rhino penis right now. You know how up for esports I would be after that?
I believe that is actually banned by esports.
Yeah.
Not the way I play. I need it. I need it, John. I gotta have it. You put the sticks in my hand and some rhino penis up my nose.
So I feel like some other games that the shoddy would be applicable to that we didn't mention are things like Elite Dangerous.
Yeah.
And its cohort.
Star Citizen.
Yeah.
Star Citizen, yes. So things along those lines where it's just like, this game's crazy. I think DayZ is worthy of a consideration for that category because it's just like, man.
So close, DayZ. So close.
Yeah.
So close. You almost made it this year, bud. Maybe next year because you won't be out yet.
Yeah, I mean, you realize next year we're going to have, in theory, full releases of DayZ, Star Citizen.
I got a full release for you.
It's an eSport all its own.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's got good distance, Jim, but...
Yeah. Well, the volume is low.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to spot. anything else before we move on to current? I'll tell you. I think we should wrap this up by saying the one thing we're most looking forward to in the coming year that could potentially be on our lists or what have you. Just anything. What was the thing that's got you most excited about gaming next year?
Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
A civilian version of the Oculus Rift with all the accompanying hardware and games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Virtual reality in general.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's super hype. The only thing that I might say besides that is the only thing I think I'm really excited for right now is No Man's Sky.
Yeah. I was watching some more gameplay of that today, and it just looks better and better.
I'm really interested. Like, they've kept kind of a lot of that game under wraps, almost to its detriment, I think. But it keeps alive the what is this exactly? Yeah. It looks real nice. Like, what's there? You know, like, there's a big potential for disappointment. But if they've got some really cool, I mean, they're being super secretive about it to a point where I believe that there is something that's going to be kind of special about that game. So I'm hoping.
I think this next year in video gaming is going to be like one of those times you look back and you're like, well, that's when
the shit changed.
That's when everything changed. Yeah. I mean, that's when it's just wild to think about what next year holds.
Yeah.
Well, there's some of the new graphics processors that are slated to come out. Like, there's just this explosion in technology again. The fact that PC gaming has kind of come back in full force over the last couple of years, I think, is really leading a lot of that. So it's exciting times.
Yeah, it next year is going to be pretty amazing, one way or the other. Like, the at the end of next year, we're either going to be talking about the incredible influx of VR and all its applications, or we're going to be talking about how it landed with the loudest thud you ever heard.
I can't believe that HoloLens just blew everything away,
right?
Man.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who saw that coming? That thing's fantastic.
Turns out it was the only thing that esports enthusiasts could get behind. So
yeah.
I can't believe that it brought peace to the Middle East. I mean, that was unexpected.
Yeah, they took one look at those, you know, Halo waypoints floating in the distance and decided that,
guys, we're doing this. That's all. Chill the fuck out.
Hey. It was so awesome when President Trump gave everyone an Oculus Rift.
It's going to be the biggest, best Oculus you ever had. You're going to have so many Oculus Rifts, you're going to say, I'm tired of it. If you don't have an Oculus Rift, you're stupid. All right. Well, let us.
If you don't have an Oculus Rift, you're not allowed in this country.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have an Oculus Rift, we're rounding you up and we're sending you back to a country that, I don't know, doesn't have virtual reality or something. Oh, I haven't thought this through a bunch.
The news. Welcome to the news.
Oh, that's nice.
Hideo Kojima works for Sony.
Yeah.
There was a big announcement that he is partnering with Sony for a new PlayStation exclusive that is going to be produced by his studio called Kojima Productions.
Sounds familiar. What
they called it before, yeah. It's real, yeah. And that was like probably an easy name to settle on, I'm assuming. Let's see. He said in a tweet himself that he's no longer working for Konami. His contract with them has ended. And his quote was actually kind of nice. He's thrilled to embark on creating a new franchise. So this will be something different than Metal Gear, obviously, because Konami still has the rights for that.
And I look forward to playing Steel Cog.
He also said he will be, quote, committed to be involved in creative activities for as long as he lives. So it almost sounds like he's kind of been rejuvenated a little bit. There was a video of the announcement, and man, he looked pretty haggard. Like, he looked really fucking tired. So I'm curious to see what this dude comes up with. I mean, I'm so thrilled with Metal Gear Solid 5. It would be nice to see him go somewhere else and do something new with that piece of resume behind him. He's obviously very capable of leading a team to make a phenomenal game, so it should be interesting to see what he does somewhere new.
Yeah, and it seems like a good fit. I mean, you know, Metal Gear has always been, in my mind at least, associated with the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Even though what the first was an NES game, but it seems like a good fit. I'm really curious. Like, I'm not, as we have discussed before, not crazy about the Metal Gear games necessarily, but there's no denying the fact. Like, I wish he would make Snatcher 2. That's what I want. Because Snatcher is fucking dope.
Snatcher is really good.
I watched that video on YouTube. I'd never played it. And man, does that say Hideo Kojima all over
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only Kojima game I've ever played where at the end of it, I thought that was one of the great gaming experiences. And like, I played that back in the Sega CD days. That was one of the few Sega CD games I had. And oh man, that game is good.
It's got a good soundtrack.
It does, and it's basically Blade Runner Lite. And it's so good.
So in we're doing something too news, Konami is hiring for a quote new Metal Gear that they are producing without Hideo Kojima.
Y'all guys have fun.
That game's gonna suck. If Konami's recent behavior is any indication of their dedication to a new title in that series. Yeah, that seems really half-assed.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I understand why. I mean, they own a property that's valuable, but man, their potential to just totally fuck that up is palpable.
I mean, yeah, to me, that's the big problem, is how do you replicate Kojima's brain? Because that's what makes those Metal Gear games so interesting, is just how crazy they are. And you know, it's sort of like trying to be campy. You know, that's really tough. Sometimes you create something that is campy because of the nature of it. But if you set out to, like, I'm going to make a viral video, you know, how do you do that?
Well, you go on YouTube and you look up how to make a viral video.
Right, and see all the videos that have gone viral.
Yeah, it's just a recursive thing. You look at one and then you go, I'll just make one like that.
Right. It's kind of like seeing, you know, Van Gogh's Starry Night and being like, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a painter.
I'm going to go out with all the girls tonight And we're all going to sit in the shop and drink red wine and be rowdy. And we're all going to paint our own Starry Night and take it home and hang it up over our toilet.
That
these places exist.
That, yeah, that sounds like a good time. Can we go do that?
We
all
can.
Right. All right. I'm down. Can we turn it into an e-sport?
Yeah.
Everybody make a Starry Night starting now. All right, now put it on Twitch.
Yeah, exactly. So I've read several different articles about this kind of whole Kojima starting his new studio, and it seems like a lot of his, or at least several notable people have come with him to this new studio. So not only is he gone from Konami, but it seems like a lot of the people who were an important part of that team are also leaving. So it'll be interesting to see what it is that Konami does. But not so much that I'm going to, you know, wonder about it until it actually happens, I think.
Right. And do you think it's going to be another numbered one, or they're going to do an offshoot, or...
Like, I don't know, man. I mean, Metal
Gear 6, the...
Like this game is just such... Five is just leaps and bounds above anything before it. And, you know, honestly, above most... game, as far as just like the gameplay and, you know, the systems and the things that you can do in that game, you know, it's an innovative title, and, you know, they really set the bar a little bit higher for pretty much everything that comes after it, not just another Metal Gear game. So they're gonna have to do something pretty impressive to measure up.
It's all gonna be VR, man. You're gonna be in Metal Gear.
You are the Metal Gear. Rocket League. The revenue has exceeded $50 million, which is apparently about 25 times what it costs to make that game. So that shit is profitable.
Good for those guys.
Well, and they gave it away for, what was it, a month on PS4?
Yeah, it was the PS Plus game for that month.
But who doesn't have PS Plus now at this point? I think everybody
who has PS4
probably has. Yeah.
But, you know, I think this argument's been made before, but would that game have been as successful if you didn't have a user base that got it for free and was like, holy crap, this game is good, and they became...
It was kind of a genius move, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they really became the evangelists for that game and, you know, telling their friends on, you know, hey, like, get this on PC or another platform or whatever, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got the cross-play going on, so that helps it as well. So, you know, if you got it free on PS4, you could still play with your friends on, you know, other platforms, so that helped it quite a bit. But it's, obviously, it's a good game, so, you know, if you gave away a fucking shitty game for free, nobody would play that anyway. But, it seems like kind of a bold move. But, you know, now that it's worked out so well, it's, you know, it just comes off looking as really clever because they just instant, you know, user base. Like, the moment somebody came to that game after that free month had ended and they said, all right, I guess I'll buy in. They got in, the servers were all working, and they got into a game right away, and there were experienced players to play with that were interested in playing the game well. So it was like, there was no way to lose.
Yeah.
But it must have been really hard to say, yeah, let's give the shit away for a month. That had to be a tough decision.
Well, and the continued support of the game, too, and charging, you know, like, hey, here, give us $5 and you can drive the DeLorean from Back to the Future or whatever, you know? Like,
yeah, and it's perfect. Like, they're doing all that shit the way that you should do that. Like, here's the game. And they've got all the new modes now, too. I haven't tried it yet, but they have one... where the field is covered with snow and you're playing with a giant hockey puck instead of a ball. So the physics are different. So when you hit it, it'll actually slide a little bit, you know, and it can kind of tumble. And so they're, you know, putting out all this stuff that mixes it up and keeps it kind of fresh. But then you've still got like the core
esport
side of it.
Yeah. So we need to play some more Rocket League.
I know. I haven't been in there in a while. I own it twice. I've got it on PC and I have it on PS4. Yeah. So.
All right. Wait,
they gave me the free version and I paid them for it because that
I did the exact same thing where I was like, you know what? I feel like, again, you know, at the time it was two different locations in my place, but also like, yeah, I felt like I got it too cheaply. Like that game that I wanted to give somebody some money for that.
13th most played game currently on Steam right now. So there's a peak today was 32,000 players playing Rocket League, and all those people paid for it.
Yeah, good so man. Good for that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah, great. And you know, because they had built essentially this game before, and you know, it was not a big hit, and they went and they tuned it and put it back out, and boom, hit.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right.
That's cool. It's a good story.
It's a feel-good Christmas kind of story. You'll be visited by three rocket cars.
So I'm trying to find... My next story is about Squad, and I'm trying to see if it's on the Steam list. I'm trying to see...
It is number... Well, it's a little bit farther down, but it was on the top sellers.
I'm trying to look at like the player count, and I don't see
it. There, it probably isn't.
Maybe because it's... Pre-release? I don't know.
When I played last night, it was hard to find a server that wasn't full. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I don't see it on here. I must just not be seeing it. that's a big fat hit on Steam. It is selling like hotcakes. It's been in the news story I pulled said it's been in the top. It's the front page of the top sellers list, which is like the top 10 games on Steam. It's been on that list since it released. So. Yeah, I'm going to have to pick that up. Yeah, that looks cool. The story that I pulled was kind of interesting. They were talking about how it was just basically this. The guy who wrote the story, it was his impressions of playing the game. And one of the first games, he said it's 72 player servers right now, but they're expanding to 100.
Yeah, they've been stress testing the 100 player servers every couple days. Okay.
So I think he said he was in a 72-player game, and he was in his four-man squad, and essentially his summation of the game was that you are just constantly trying to figure out what the enemy is going to do and do something that, you know, cuts off their plan or ruins their plan or, you know, just be one step ahead of whatever it is that they're doing. And one of his experiences that he explained was that... he and his squad just absolutely could not figure out how to deal with the guys that were attacking the spot that they were defending. And they just got overrun and forced back out of their spawn point that they were in. And then in the next game that he played, he said he ended up sitting at his spawn point for like a half an hour, basically doing nothing because the guys who were up the road a bit were just decimating any attack that came at them. They were just totally handling it perfectly. So he says you get kind of a varied experience, and it sounds really interesting.
There's a lot of sort of leapfrogging once you get in the squads where, you know, one will defend, want to go to the next point, and then you may have that defending one push up to the point after that. It all comes down to how well people are communicating with each other.
That seems like a big part. So you can only communicate with your squad.
Yeah, so if you're a squad leader, you have access to a channel of all the squad leaders, so you can all talk at the same time. Or when you're a squad leader, you can use the number pad on the right side of your keyboard to talk to, like, number one is the first squad, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But then, yeah, if you're just, like, in a squad and you're not the squad leader, really you can only do local chat, or you can do a radio that is just your squad. So,
yeah, that's cool. That sounds really interesting.
It's cool because it later in the game, it will emphasize, like, you know, there's going to be helicopters and there's going to be, like, supply trucks, so there's a lot of coordination that's going to come in later that it's going to make the game a whole, like, another layer of gameplay in there where you'll have to have a team of people who are, you know, logistics and are, like, dropping off supplies at different bases to keep, you know, guns supplied, which is cool.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
It's going to be really fun.
All right.
Star Citizen, mm-hmm. We talked about this earlier. Their 2.0 alpha release. The article that I pulled there is some discussion about how there's some frames per second issues. Seems to be one of the biggest technical problems. Did you run into that at all?
Yeah. I mean, it's not optimized yet. You know, that's the last thing you do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an alpha.
But,
so,
you know, there are situations where you're rendering a lot of stuff, and frames are down in the 20s. I mean, you gotta think, though, the game is beautiful. Like, the first time you spawn a ship and you walk out onto the launching pad, if you're on one side of the station, you're coming up these stairs and there's just a reveal of this planet that looks a lot like Jupiter. And it's just insane with, like, the gas clouds and the big storms and stuff. And it just, it blows anything you've seen in, like, Elite Dangerous out of the water in terms of fidelity.
Nice. The Oculus Rift. Let's see, what is their phrasing on this? Hold on. The final Rift hardware and SDK software development kit 1.0 is shipping out to devs, and their quote is, "If you are a developer imminently shipping your Rift game, the final Rift hardware and SDK version 1.0 will be coming to you this week." So that shit is happening.
All right. I'm down. Let's do this.
Yep. Yep. No, there's not a specific release date, but it's the first quarter of 2016 is what they're saying, I believe. For consumer versions, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, well, you've got Gear VR out now. I think PlayStation VR and Oculus are both Q1. I mean, Oculus obviously says they're Q1, and I can't imagine with, PlayStation talking it up as much as they have that's not going to be pretty quick. I mean,
you don't want to be the last one out, especially not if this shit actually works.
Right. So. You definitely don't want to be the last guy to show up to the party on this one.
Yep. So in that same, in the VR world, HTC, the Vive, and that is Valve's collaboration with HTC. That's their virtual reality headset. There is kind of this strange, they're alluding to some technological breakthrough that they've made, which they say is, quote, very, very big. What that means, nobody seems to know.
We'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so the thing is a very, very big technological breakthrough. So big, in fact, that the initial release version of the headset was suddenly rendered effectively obsolete. So, who knows if they're just hyping it or what.
You're going to be able to jack in like Johnny Mnemonic.
Something. I don't know. This shit's getting exciting. I'm not going to be able to afford more than one headset for a while, and even getting one for me is going to be, because I also need a new PC, unfortunately. This is the wrong time for that to have to come down the pipe, but so I'm going to be into this for some cash, so I'm probably going to be limited to one headset for a while, so we're going to see what happens with that. A couple of interesting lawsuits against Steam. The French consumer group has sued them. It seems, I couldn't quite get the full grasp of what it was, but it seems like it's still related to, they're not quite satisfied with the return policy, and they are not happy about funds left in your Steam wallet not being accessible, like it's actually cash that you can get back out of there. Like, once your money is in your Steam wallet, it's kind of stuck there, and they filed a lawsuit over kind of some, I don't know, the only article I could really find about it was a little wishy-washy, but they seem unsatisfied with Steam. I guess when somebody's got a couple $1 billion, you tend to sue those people. So.
Yeah, I've got a couple of lawsuits against them right now, but...
yeah, just because, why not, right? You never know, it might hit.
They're all Dragon Age related.
Yep. And then there is another lawsuit that is demanding the right to resell their Steam games. I think this is related to the French group. This is just another article I found, but neither one of these articles had the same information about the suit. So it's probably all just one suit. But they're saying if we buy a game and we don't want it anymore, we should be able to resell it. And I think that sounds kind of cool. I would like to be able to do that, but I don't think that's ever going to
happen. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea, especially living in a world where so much is digital now and doesn't exist really. Yeah, exactly. It's all a concept.
But so my hope for this is, so, I am GameStop and companies like that make good money reselling used games. So the moment that Steam says, well, we could make all that money... That's when this happens.
Yeah, if I could sell...
If Steam gets to take a cut off every sale... It's going to happen.
I mean, you just make it something like how you sell trading cards. You just like put it on a market, and you're like, I'll sell it for, you know, 10% under, you know, whatever the highest value is. Someone's going to buy it.
Well, and Steam already has that system in place for their little digital trading cards. You get them from playing the game, and you go on, and you can see what the market price is, and you can set it a couple cents higher than everybody, but you won't sell it right away, but eventually it'll sell, you know, so.
I like that you two have totally different approaches. Like, Justin's like, oh, yeah, I'll sell it for 10% less, and Dylan's like, screw that.
I'll get an extra.
Some sucker will come around.
No, I'm not selling it for, I'm not selling my free stupid digital card that I got from Steam for 10 cents. I didn't have it a second ago. I'm going to sell it for 12 cents.
All right. Yeah.
It's a Superman 3 theory. All those little pennies add up.
I think I'm curious to see it at some point if, like, you two just get, like, Justin would have to just go volume. You know, like, that's his role in this digital capitalism that we're establishing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolan's all, you know, like, for Dolan's plan to work and he get rich off of it, which is inevitably where we're headed, you would have to get, like, the unique stuff. Like, you're the high end. You're the, you know, the boutique on Fifth Avenue. And Justin's the big box store.
I have a copy of Tron 2.0 for sale. And no one else does.
Right, right. Like, you know, to use an example from this show, like, I've got Snatcher. All right, this is a game that you haven't played and you want to play it, and I'm only selling one of them.
That's right.
And Justin's like, screw that. I got Borderlands.
We're going to do a reverse bidding system. The bidding starts at $1 million.
Work your way down? Is that the idea?
Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
Because why not?
I don't know how that would work, but I'm curious.
It
All right.
doesn't work.
I want to see it there.
But Steam would figure out a way. I'm just saying. I don't know. Let's see. Speaking of suing people, somebody is suing Bethesda because he says he's addicted to playing Fallout 4.
That's dumb.
I know. I always love these stories because it's just like, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I hope some judge just throws that out of like, you know what? Stop playing.
Yeah, and also this guy lives in Russia, so that case is totally going to make it.
Totally.
Hey, the Steam Winter Sale has started, if you're listening to this. It was old news. It was the release date was yet again leaked on PayPal, but it has started as of today, December 22nd, the day we were recording this podcast. So if you're listening to this, it is going on right now, and get you some of that if you are into the PC gaming.
Yeah, it's sort of the tale of my Steam sale experience of late anyway, which is, oh yeah, I've got most of this.
Yeah, I got pretty much all of these. Like, oh, hey, The Witcher 3 is almost cheap enough to where I'm going to pick it up finally.
Yeah. And,
yeah, that's kind of how it's going for me so far. Like, I really haven't dug into the list yet, but they've changed the way they're doing it. They've done away with the flash sales, which I actually kind of liked. It's kind of a pain in the ass if you don't have the time to come back and check every 8 hours, but with their phone app that they have, you know, you can just hit 5 minutes and go, oh, what's the new flash sale? Oh, I don't need any of these. Set an alarm for 8 hours from now and I'll check them then, you know. So I kind of like that there was a deeper discount to the games. Like, you could see everything that was on sale and you would look at that bucket and say, all right, these are the games that are most likely going to show up on a deeper sale on the flash sale. So I'm going to hold out for that. And there was kind of a anticipation to it that is not there anymore. So, and I don't think it's a bad thing that they switched the way they're doing it, but it's takes some getting used to. Kind of takes some of the Steam sale out of the Steam sale, I think.
Yeah, well, it was always like, you know, you would email your pals and say, you know, hey, this is on sale for the next, you know, 6-8 hours or 12 hours or whatever, and it put the focus on certain games at certain times, you know, and kind of gave you more of a buffet of games as opposed to just like, yeah, you know, pretty much everything is on sale and there are different featured items on the front page, but yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing the same thing without the extra discounts of the flash sale. Like the thing I liked about the flash sale was it probably gave some games that didn't really get front page exposure, it gave them some exposure, but it seems like they're still delivering that with the featured, you know, the daily featured page. So it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. It's just like, yeah, they got rid of the way that I kind of liked how they used to do it, but it doesn't seem like it really matters that it's gone. So A-okay.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, my biggest problem is that it just doesn't feel as relevant to me as it did a few years ago.
Jesus Christ, every time I look at this, it's shocking. 327 games in my Steam library. God damn it. I haven't been in there a while to look at that number. That's embarrassing. mentioned earlier, Minecraft got a huge new update where they added tons of stuff. They also, it's coming out on Wii U. It just came out on Wii U, for the first time on the 17th of December. You can download it in I believe they call it the eShop on the Wii U.
I can see where that Wii U gamepad could be super useful. Playing Minecraft.
Yeah, if there's some sort of a functionality where, like, the inventory shows up on there or something, that would be a really nice way to manage that. I don't know if it does that or not, but there's a couple of friends that I have in the neighborhood here who have young kids who have yet to experience the awesomeness that is Minecraft. One of the families has a Wii U, and one of them is buying a Wii U for their kids, and when I told them both that Minecraft is available for that, they nearly shit their pants because they're like, yeah, all of my son's friends talk about Minecraft all the time, and he's like, I want to play Minecraft. I want to play Minecraft. So they are fucking thrilled that they can deliver that on Christmas. So hopefully their kids don't listen to this podcast before Christmas.
Or at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, at all.
Given the amount of times that semen pops out of its groundhog hole.
We have an award inspired by testicles.
Yeah, right.
So.
I mean, let's be age appropriate. That's all I'm saying. You know,
7, 8 years old, okay. Younger than that, not okay.
I mean, if you want to be conservative, I would go 6 and up. But
5 year olds are.
Okay. I mean, as long as you're not pooping your own pants.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, you get most of what goes on in this show.
I'm with you. Minecraft has new biomes. Whole bunch of new biomes, new mobs, all kinds of new blocks. Treasure can be caught while fishing. There's new fish in the game. Skeletons will run away from wolves. Buttons can be placed on the tops and bottoms of blocks. If you're into building interesting contraptions, that's a handy thing. There's a whole bunch of upgrades to Minecraft. If you're playing on PC, Xbox One, PS4, they are all available already right now. This update is not coming out for the Wii U for, I think it's a few months. But yeah, you're into Minecraft. There's a lot of new shit to fart around with in there.
Glad they finally fixed that whole skeletons not being afraid of wolves thing. You are made of bones and that's a dog. You need to run.
They hadn't programmed the self-preservation part of the AI yet. Bo, you played a little Elder Scrolls Online, is that correct? Have you been in there recently?
Not in a while.
It sounds like that game's kind of dying.
Yeah.
They laid off, there's a customer service office in Ireland, and I originally read that they had closed it. But apparently it is still open, but they laid off 300 people from that place. So that seems like a lot of customer service
all
reps
leprechauns
to let go.
Hi, ta, 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 ta. What's your problem with ESO?
I think their problem with it is that the game's not all that great.
I don't think it was a bad game at all. It is an MMO in a space that has a bunch of those, and all the people that you know, are devoted to an MMO are playing Warcraft, you know? But my time with the game, I was just kind of curious about it. I had a good time playing it, you know, it was an MMO, but it was a pretty good one and, you know, looked pretty and the quest lines were kind of interesting and unusual for a game like that. So, I didn't think it was a bad game at all.
Let me see if I can find it here. So Star Citizen had their new update come out that we were talking about, and David Braben, the guy who makes Elite Dangerous, had some nice things to say about the game after reading kind of a bunch of online hate. And he said, "What both Star Citizen and Elite Dangerous are trying to do is very hard indeed. Both games are incredibly ambitious. I am proud and excited about what we are doing, but what they are doing is ambitious too, and I am looking forward to playing Star Citizen when it's finished. What we are both doing is new. We are trailblazing. The scope of both is vast and quite different, and neither has been done before. So there is no right answer for either of the approaches. It is frustrating to see some of the criticism of Star Citizen online. We should applaud when someone tries something that is hard, that hasn't been done, not discourage them." I thought that was a pretty good statement from technically a competitor.
Well, Chris Roberts gave money to Elite Dangerous, and I think vice versa too. So, I mean,
yeah. I mean, obviously, they have a vested interest in the other doing well and kind of bringing that genre back and pushing it forward. So, but he could have just as easily been a total prick about it and said, "No, that game's going to fucking suck. You should buy Elite Dangerous." And you know, he didn't go that route. So that's
Star admirable. Citizen just showed off their first bit of footage of, space to planet, flying procedurally, seamlessly, from space down to a planet.
I mean, I believe Star Citizen is, or Elite Dangerous is gonna get there, but we've discussed it before. They need to stop adding features and they need to start fleshing out what they've got at this point. It's fun. That game's still really cool to play. Like, there is something real satisfying about flying through that docking collar and, you know, finding your landing pad and then kind of, you know, maneuvering your ship down, and then those fucking clamps grab on and pull your ship down into the bowels of the ship, and your little menu pops up. That is so fucking cool.
It's a lot of fun in VR. So,
oh man, I bet. I cannot fucking wait. And we're going to end with me telling some people to knock that shit off.
Yes, my favorite portion of the show.
Hacker group Phantom Squad is planning to launch denial of service attacks against Xbox Live and PlayStation networks over Christmas, just like the douchebags in the Lizard Squad did last year. They're trying to draw attention to the fact that those networks are not secure by shutting them down at a time when you're basically just ruining all these young kids. Like, what's better than getting the game system you wanted on Christmas morning and plugging that shit in, and your parents just do not want to fucking see you for the rest of the day, so they let you play games all day and they don't fucking bother you. And then some asshole who thinks he's got your best interest in mind makes it so you can't fucking do that. I think those people should go fucking hang themselves. A bunch of cocksuckers.
Profanity aside, yeah, I mean, I had kind of forgotten about this. Maybe just I blocked it out because I'm actually off for a couple of days following Christmas this year. And I was like, I can't wait to sit around and play games. I remember seeing this and being like, really? Because you're not doing anything in regards to security, because a DDoS attack isn't really about security.
No, it's about you being an asshole.
It's just a thing that if you have a little bit of technical knowledge, you can just do that.
Yeah, I can open a command window and type in one sentence and start a denial of service attack on any website on the planet. It's not hard to do. Like, referring to these guys as hackers, I think, is ridiculous. They're just a bunch of little punks.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Just a bunch of teen punks that, want to get off on.
Bunch of elite 420 no-scope douchebags.
Trying to deny everyone their sweet, sweet esports.
Is it like, God, you know, go... there are avenues to, you know, if you have a legitimate beef about the security, like, find that hole, find the fucking hole in their system and publicize it so that it hurts their bottom line, so they're forced to fix it. What you don't do is go out and fuck with the people who are just trying to.
Right. Or that company hires you because you found an exploit that they can now plug thanks to you.
Yeah. Are you actually like somebody with some, you know, cybersecurity skills, or are you just a fucking little piece of shit punk?
You know? Yeah. You got, it's really frustrating. And the only, you know, fingers crossed I have in this scenario is, you know, A, that it gets shut down before it ever happens. But if it does happen, I just hope they get caught and prosecuted. Like, I don't want them to go up the river for the rest of their lives or anything, but they should have the, you know, shit scared out of them.
They should have something that they enjoy taken away from them at a time when they really, really want it.
Yeah, and I think that thing should be like, their liberty, and you know, like, put them somewhere where they don't get access to a computer or video games or, you know, the stuff that they kind of live for, and make that, you know, happen for a year or two. And I think, you know, at a certain point, it's got to, like, that's not Big Brother watching you. That's like, you are breaking the law. And more importantly, you're just being kind of a douchebag. And you should have to pay for that at some point.
Yeah. Agreed. So that's the knock that shit off portion of the news, which brings us to the end of the news.
Well done. All right.
Yes. Thank you.
Actually, this time out, no questions or comments. We'll get back to that. And
we've answered all the questions that people have. Like, we've left no stone unturned. All inquiries have been sufficiently completed.
Thanks. We'll get back to that next week. In the meantime, let's wrap this up with a one more time around the table to talk about what we're going to be playing in the coming days. Justin McFerrin, what are you going to be playing pretty soon?
I'll probably play more Rainbow Six, some Squad over the break. And I've been eyeballing this game called The Isle. It's kind of like a MMO with it's got a human factions and dinosaurs, but the dinosaurs are split, and you're all sort of trying to survive. And might pick that up, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, I know how you love your MMOs. Have you heard about Elder Scrolls Online? I hear there's room in that game to move around.
Plenty of space.
Is there esports in that game? Is that what the E stands for?
Yeah.
Esports Online.
Esports Online, yeah.
Did you guys see the video? I think I had it in the news. I didn't read it. But the video of the guy making trick shots with basketballs in Fallout 4.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Esports.
That's all that game needs is a Grand Theft Auto style. Like, here's a bunch of sports you can play.
He's like throwing, he's like holding onto a basketball, like picking it up in game, letting it go, and then shooting it with a pistol from like super far away, and, you know, using the physics of the pistol to, and which would normally pop a basketball, but in Fallout 4 it puts it in the hoop for like an awesome three.
I think honestly, if you want to get me to watch basketball, that's the way to play it. You shoot the balls in midair
in the fucking wasteland. And it appears that radiation is starting to become a factor in the fourth quarter.
Seems like some red roaches have
bored their way up through center court.
Now it's really become less of a battle between two teams and a battle for survival. As
right. The way it should be. I think there was a George Carlin with baseball. One of his ways he wanted to spice it up was have crocodiles randomly roaming the outfield.
And landmines randomly placed. Yeah. Really like that quite a bit. Good lord, baseball's boring. Anyway.
Don't even get me started.
What else are you playing, Dylan? Did you say?
I'm going to do some Kerbal Space Program. I'm hooked on that right now. And some Destiny. As much as I hate to admit it, I just want to get back and get some more loot. Like, it's a loot game that I haven't gotten all the loot in yet, and that's a thing that I have a problem with.
Yes,
so.
Let it flow through.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not doing it unless you're there with me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not gonna suffer through that shit by myself.
Yeah, I still do it, but it's not nearly as much fun to just dance as you're scanning.
Yeah, stuff. It's
I don't not dance. That's what you're saying.
I mean, you have to. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I've had some time in that game by myself, and it was more just like, you know, I think Bo was like level 9 and I'm level 7. I think I'll just catch up to where he was and then I'll just sign out, because then next time we play, we'll be at the same spot. And, you know, it's more those kind of things. It's just not like, oh, yeah, I got to get through this fucking game. This is great. It's more, this will be way more fun when everybody else is on.
Yeah, I could say, oh, I got to see how this story wraps up. There's none of that. It's like, how can I avoid this story? Oh, yeah, if I'm just talking to friends of mine while they're chit-chattering away about some nonsense, that'll be 10 times better. Yep.
While I shoot these guys in the face. Yeah,
Oh, man, headshots are real satisfying in that game, though.
They are good, man. Those things pop off, and the gas kind of comes seeping out of their neck. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that way. That's with people, good. I've learned.
Oh, yeah. There goes my Wednesday. Yeah.
I
was going to hunt down some fucking Phantom Squad or whatever the fuck they're called. Crack some heads off.
Honestly, I'm the kind of jerk that if that happened, like, I don't want anyone to get hurt. But that being said, if you told me, like, these guys, like, they have to do the DDoS attack before I sign off on this. But if and when that...
Well, they already shut down Xbox Live for a while. They already did part of that.
Ugh. Yeah, okay, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, so, like, the news story comes on that, oh, well, we've discovered that this hacker group all burned to death in the warehouse they were in, where they had a bunch of computers that overheated because they were doing a DDoS. Oh, well, that's too fucking bad.
Yeah, I'm sure that warehouse was useful for something, and that's a shame.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so...
I'd also like to get into some more Dying Light. I'd like to co-op that. That was a good time. I want to play some more Bloodborne to see if I hate that game or not. Rebel Galaxy, and I still haven't finished Metal Gear Solid 5, which is on sale for $40. Bo, you should totally
play it. I saw that. That still it still feels a little steep to me.
You should check the alternative sources out there and see if somebody's got an extra discounted $30 version.
I think around $30 and I'm in. I'll hit up Cheap Shark and see what's going on. Cheap Shark, the official sale aggregator for video games of the Shotcast.
We should probably tell him, the guy that made that website, that they're the official low price aggregator. We should contact them and say, hey, by the way. We're pimping your wares.
Yeah, it's probably better we do it before the lawyers are involved.
It's true.
Because we don't have any.
They said, what about cum? How many times did they say testicles?
The bally? What does that even mean? I will be playing... I'm sure I'll be playing a little more Destiny. It's kind of fun to kick back on on the couch and shoot some stuff with my pals, my droogs. I will also, my plan is to at least get into Hard West and see if that game appeals to me. I will probably be playing a little more Rebel Galaxy and probably, a bit more Massive Chalice, cause I kind of want to go back and start over now that I've just ruined the bloodlines that I've got going on right now. I kind of want to just abandon that. Just old busted civilization forever and move on to something that, you know, stands a chance.
Nothing to see here.
Right. But I would kind of like it if you logged in and they were just like, where have you been? You know, what? We're all anemic now.
I got the DTs real hard.
Yeah, a bunch of asthmatic drunks. That's all I'm spawning in that game now. Thanks, giant bomb former host Ryan Davis, who is... I mentioned that, right? That there is a family called the Tazwells that is based on Ryan Davis.
Oh, nice. In the Massive Chalice. Yeah, that's right.
So...
Yeah, that's pretty. That's nice.
It is very nice.
Nice because those guys were
but
friends.
But also,
yeah.
There's an issue with the fact that if that is your main bloodline, there's going to be some alcoholism. just saying.
It's not true. Yeah, apparently that guy could pack him away. So
that's what I hear. Yeah. All right, so. For those of you listening to this show, thank you as always. You can see, all this and more at sdfgaming.com. Head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/sdfgaming. Is that correct?
Schadenfreude Gaming.
Sorry. So if you go to facebook.com/schadenfreudegaming, spelled just like it sounds,
You got the internet.
Or you can just hop over to sdfgaming.com and you can find Twitter and Facebook and the Twitch streams and all that fun stuff over there, as well as articles and news and reviews and videos and all kinds of fun stuff. If you are listening to this on the iTunes, it would be great if you dropped us a review and gave us a few stars there to let us know that we're doing a show that you enjoy. And as always, tell your friends if there is someone in your life that enjoys video games and you think, hey, they should probably listen to Three Idiots talk about video games for a while. We're that. We can do that all day. And we now have multiple shows that they can listen to, and none of them are short for no reason. So that will do it for 2015 for the Shotcast. We will be back in 2016. Where we'll all be in virtual reality, and that's going to be great.
If you know anyone that received a Bali, could you have them contact us with their acceptance speech? Because we would love to have that.
Yes. I should probably just go ahead and let Dragon Age Inquisition know that they have won their only award.
I'm sure they'll be right over
right.
to pick
it's
it up.
What? Ugh.
Yeah, that one's not getting left at the after party. If you don't get a Bali on your mantle,
you're right. Our game was 3 times too long.
I just want to say thank you to Bo for pointing out that we needed a Bali.
We need to trim this up. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll see you next year. Say goodnight, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Jerks.